Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
And here we are, Thursday, September 13th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a gunman killed five people, including his wife, before turning the gun on himself in Kern County. Sheriff's deputies closed in Wednesday. Authorities said there was no immediate word on what sparked the shooting that took place at a home and a business in Bakersfield, which is about 90 miles north of Los Angeles. Six people died in a short amount of time. The man showed up at a trucking company business with his wife shortly before 5:30, where he confronted another man. The suspect, the husband, shot the person at the trucking company and then turned and shot his wife, then chased and shot another man who showed up, the sheriff said. The gunman then went to a home where he shot and killed a man and a woman. He then carjacked a woman who was driving her child. The woman and the child escaped, and the man drove to a highway where the sheriff's deputy saw him. The gunman saw the deputy and pulled into a lot. When the deputy confronted him at gunpoint, the man shot himself in the chest, the sheriff said. His identity has not been immediately released, except for the gunman's wife. There is no immediate word on how the victims might be related or know each other at all. About 30 people saw the shootings and were being interviewed by deputies. So six people in a pretty short amount of time killed by this guy. Here's the latest on Hurricane Florence. The strong winds are weakening as the storm gets closer to North Carolina, but the impact of the immense storm will still be catastrophic for millions of people. Florence, now a Category 2 hurricane with maximum sustained winds of 110 miles per hour, is forecast to unleash extreme storm surge, possibly historic flooding rains and damaging winds in the Carolinas beginning Thursday. That's today. The storm is expected to slowly move inland, battering much of the U.S. coast for days. While Florence is no longer considered a major hurricane, its reach has expanded, threatening residents from Georgia to Virginia. Florence's center will approach the North and South Carolina coast late today and tomorrow, but it's unclear where it will make landfall. As the storm moves inland, Georgia, Virginia, and Maryland are also in danger of being hit. Strong winds will send rising waters inland from the coastline of the Carolinas. The National Hurricane Center says the storm surge could rise up to 13 feet. That's water inundating homes up to the first floor roof. At least 800 flights along the U.S. East Coast have been canceled Thursday through Saturday ahead of the storm. Officials in the potential path of Florence urged people to evacuate their coastal homes and direct drivers away from the coast. You put your life at risk by staying, North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper said. More than 10 million people are under a storm watch or warning in Virginia and the Carolinas, where up to 40 inches of rain could fall.
Man, there are always those that are the holdouts, and they're starting to, you know, interview those people.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, ma'am, what, you know, it's not worth it. Yes, you may be right, and nothing might happen to your home at all, and everything will be cool. But then again, if you are on the off chance wrong,
there's no coming back.
Is it worth that price? You know.
Yeah.
Well, the governor said, don't wait until it starts raining to leave. Like, we're telling you, leave now.
And listen, my mom and sister, and I forgot which hurricane it was. They live on the Gulf side in Florida and near Tampa. And when that last big one came through, they had waited. They had hesitated just enough to where it was very, very difficult to get out.
They had a very long car trip.
Oh, man.
And they ended up in a hotel for a couple of days.
Yeah, but it was just to get into a safe zone because of the traffic and the gasoline issue and all that stuff. It becomes bedlam. It becomes crazy. It's hard to actually move, to have room to get anywhere.
Well, think of the amount of people. Yeah. And also, in this particular situation, there was only one or two major highways that allowed them out of the general area.
Yeah.
I will have to say, though, the amount of prep that they've done, there's not much more they can do. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they've made the highways all one way out. You've got to leave. I did see one guy talking this morning on ABC, and he said, I live in a trailer home. Like, I'm getting out.
Yeah.
You know,
saw
like,
that too.
At least there's some people that have some common sense that, you know, they can't stay. They've got to get out. But they're saying don't wait until it starts raining, you know, to leave as soon as you can. Officials in several states have declared states of emergency, including the Carolinas, Georgia, Virginia, and Maryland, where coastal areas are still recovering from summer storms. Four people have been rescued after an apartment building partially collapse in the Northern Liberty section of the city. The collapse happened at 4:35 this morning on the 700 block of North 2nd Street. Emergency crews were called to the report of a partial interior collapse of a three-story building. They went inside and pulled three people out. Crews then began searching for other occupants who may have been trapped. A short time later, they found a fourth person, but inside a neighboring building. All four people were being evacuated at the scene. LNI has been called. PICO and PGW also responded to the scene.
You remember that last building that collapsed just about a week ago, a week and a half ago? They said that, you know, people were passing by and they could see that it was kind of bowing out the building.
Oh my gosh.
I heard that might have been the case with this.
Oh, same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's scary. I don't know. But four people, fortunately, they were able to get them out. It's an active scene. There are crews on the scene now. In sports this morning. The Phillies lost to the Nationals again last night at the ballpark. Steven Strasburg threw seven strong innings. Bryce Harper, Ryan Zimmerman, and Juan Soto homered, and the Nats beat the free-falling Phils 5-1 to complete a three-game sweep. Aaron Nola, a Cy Young Award contender, had a rough first inning as the Phils lost their fifth in a row to drop 7.5 games behind first-place Atlanta in the National League East with 17 to play.
There was a while they were just on fire.
They were in first place for a long time.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
They're 11-23 since August 5th when they had the National League's second-best record. The Phils are off today before opening up a weekend series tomorrow night at home against the Miami Marlins. Alshon Jeffrey practiced yesterday for the first time since undergoing shoulder surgery in February. Jeffrey was limited at practice, but it was still a significant breakthrough as the Eagles try to get one of their top playmakers back onto the field. He was removed from the physically unable to play reserve list before opening day, clearing the way for him to return to practice. The veteran wide receiver played with a torn rotator cuff last year and excelled.
My tummy hurt.
No, his tummy did not hurt. Excelled in the postseason with 12 catches for 219 yards and three touchdowns, including a 34-yard touchdown from Nick Foles in the first quarter of the Super Bowl. The Eagles are back in action on Sunday as they play the Buccaneers in Tampa Bay, and kickoff is at 1 o'clock. And preseason hockey, at least for rookies, is back. The Flyers rookies beat the Islanders rookies 6-3 last night in East Meadow, New York. The forward Oscar Lindblom led the way with a hat trick plus two assists. Morgan Frost collected a power play goal to go along with a pair of assists, and goalie Carter Hart allowed three goals in 40 minutes of action. The official start of Flyers training camp is tomorrow. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you very much, Kathy. So we're majority of the way through the week, and that's a wonderful thing. Our Word of the Week prize week, 4-pack of tickets for the MMA Pro League, Hard Rock Casino Atlantic City on Saturday. And we'll give you 2 rooms, 4 food vouchers, meet greets with pictures in the cage. So we'll do the letter at the end of the program. So you might want to stick around for that whole thing. We also have a few guests on the program today. Now, normally, and we're bucking the system here, normally we do a Fox Good Day check-in on Wednesday mornings, but we had a technical issue yesterday, and we really wanted to talk to Alex Holly, who's back from Vocal Rest. We love her to death, and talk about her little solo trip that she took by herself out west. So guess what? We're going to do it today.
We have that kind of power, yeah.
I hope that we have the equipment that works. We have the power, but we'll see if the equipment works. So we're going to try that today. So it's going to be a little bit off. You may throw you off a bit if you're a regular listener to the show. We also have comedian Josh Wolf in the studio. He's going to be performing at Helium Comedy Club. Josh has stopped by a couple times over the years. And we will speak to Sebastian Maniscalco. He's given us a buzz because he arrives tomorrow night for his show.
No, it's tonight. Tonight.
I'm sorry. It's Thursday. When am I
I threw you off. Yeah.
Whole thing.
Crazy.
We'll talk to Sebastian. He gets in town later today for his show at the Wells Fargo Center. Tonight, tickets at SebastianLives.com. So those things and more are taking place. And we got a lot of giveaways that have just kind of fallen to us, and we'll make sure that we pass them on to you. I'll get you the details in a little bit. We'll take a break right now. We'll come back in a moment, start those giveaways with the stupid question, and a stack of entertainment stories to run by you as well. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spas. What better way to get back into the swing of things than with a relaxing massage or rejuvenating facial? With 50 locations right in this area, you're sure to find a relaxing spa experience. Introductory services are just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com to find a location near you.
Are you ready for love?
Well, if you're in love and you're ready to get engaged, visit Steven Singer at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. His Ready for Love collection of engagement rings are ready to go and ship immediately for free, all at the perfect price. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
Prince Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so we're going to do the stupid quest. I'm going to give away a, did I say question?
Question.
Question, a case of Yards Brawler 16-ounce pounder cans. And so this morning, I saw a list of great stocking stuffers.
Oh.
Yeah, and a link, and I'm like, no.
Not yet.
So are your stockings up at home already?
So it motivated me to do a Christmas question.
Do it.
So I'll go ahead and do that. What street did Ralphie Parker live on in the movie A Christmas Story? It's mentioned 215-263-WMMR. What street did Ralphie Parker live on in the movie A Christmas Story?
Not a finger!
215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. All right, I will go through some birthdays while we're waiting for you to call in. And today, on September 13th, they include drummer Vinny Appice. Vinny has played with Black Sabbath, and not in the old Black Sabbath days. He was later, but
he's
also
not related to.
Yeah, he's his brother.
He is?
He's
right.
Carmine Appice's brother, yes. And Dio and Heaven and Hell, so he all within that Black Sabbath realm, and he's done a bunch of other stuff as well, but a great drummer. He's 61 years old today. Stella McCartney has her birthday today. She is the daughter of Paul and Linda McCartney. So,
successful designer.
Yeah, had her leg blown off by a landmine. Most of the McCartney family has.
From ISIS.
No, that was his wife. Who was that?
That was
Mills?
Heather Mills.
Yeah, Heather Mills.
Yes, and then she actually lost it in a motorcycle accident. But she does a whole bunch of work for landmine removal. So
I just, you know, the connected assumption the dots.
She must have had her own leg blown off.
Why would she care so much about landmines?
Normally I wouldn't care, but my own leg was blown off by a landmine. So I thought, I'm all in.
But Stella is a very successful fashion designer. She's the real deal.
Full-blown multimillionaire off of the fashion line.
Mm, she's 47 today. Steve, you remember Jacqueline Bisset?
Of course I do. The Deep.
Yeah, the Deep.
The classic wet t-shirt.
Just for fun, I went back and I pulled up some pictures because I saw that it was her birthday today. And I mean, she's wearing a white t-shirt.
Yeah,
cotton t-shirt. No bra underneath. Totally, completely soaking wet for a good portion of that movie. And I mean, she may as well just have her top off.
Yeah, that's basically it.
And she was a beautiful, beautiful woman. She was also in the movie Airport. And you remember the movie Class?
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
She's
the milfy mom.
She's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And if you remember the Steve McQueen classic anti-hero Bullet.
Yeah.
That's his girlfriend.
Yep. Beautiful woman. Mm. She's 74 years old today. Tyler Perry, the director and actor, who's very, very successful.
Just in the news because he has hired Jeffrey Owens. You have that coming up?
Yeah, I'll get some of those details
I'll let you relay that.
Later on. But yeah, he went ahead and
followed through.
He made an offer, and Jeffrey followed through on that. So, Gone Girl, a recent success of his a few years ago. But
he can play serious really well. The Madea stuff will be on occasionally. I'll watch it. There's a few smiles. It's totally the opposite of what he does, but he's a Swiss Army knife when it comes to talent. He did this thing called it was The Passion. It was a live broadcast.
Oh, that was his.
That was his on Fox. It was the story of the Christ, and it was
I remember that.
It was done all around. I believe it was New Orleans.
I remember hearing about it.
Right, and they had different performances, and like Chris Daughtry was, and it was really good.
Yeah. I haven't given any of the Madea movies one second of my
You're
time.
You're not going to miss out for
it
not
just
seeing them?
Doesn't really. I mean, I have already seen similar movies. But
countless times.
Yeah.
But they're moneymakers.
They
like
are.
Crazy.
They're huge moneymakers. Yeah. And he's rolling in it at 49 years old. And last birthday I saw is former New York Yankees outfielder Bernie Williams and jazz guitarist. It says.
Yeah. He's a really talented musician.
No kidding.
He? Yeah, yeah.
Well, all right. He celebrates the big 5-0 today. So happy birthday to him. Let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. What street did Ralphie Parker live on in the movie A Christmas Story? And let's try out Eric. Hi, Eric. Good morning.
Hey, sorry, I was just putting away my poop stick.
It's a poop stick.
No, it's a poop knife. By the way,
wow. What was the stick?
You do whatever you do, man.
Well, people have poop sticks as well.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, they were sticks.
All right. So, Eric, do me a favor. Tell me what street Ralphie lived on in A Christmas Story.
That was definitely Cleveland Street.
You got it, man. Hang on, Cleveland Street. And we are going to set you up with a case of Yards Brawler 16-ounce pounder cans. Yards Brawler beer is 4.2% ABV and perfect for sessioning festively in the autumn air. Now available in both 12- and 16-ounce pounder cans at Austin's Beverage on Ridge Pike in Collegeville. We will begin with a Harvey Weinstein story, believe it or not. Melissa Thompson, one of the more than 80 women who have accused Harvey Weinstein of misconduct, has released a videotape that she says proves her claims.
Oh, did you watch it?
Did not.
It's disgusting.
Is it?
It's so creepy.
Okay. Thompson is part of a class action suit against Weinstein. She claims that he groped her during a business meeting and then raped her during a second meeting later. The video she released includes Weinstein apparently putting his hand up her skirt while she's pitching something to him.
So she, this is the one that, this is her. She comes in and they hug, and he's holding her and then like patting her down, up and down.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Well,
it's creepy.
She says, it says here, Thompson removes his hand, but he continues to fondle her arm.
All right. That might be a different one then.
Okay. So this one, yeah, her arm, his hand goes up her skirt. She sat down in an interview with Sky News, with whom she released the tape, and she said, "We don't have to live with being raped when we think we're going to a business meeting." Weinstein's attorney, Benjamin Braffman, tells The Blast, "Several respected journalists and trustworthy individuals have seen the entire video, as Ms. Thompson has been trying to promote it for several months. What they shared with us is that the video, when viewed in its entirety, in context, and not in selected excerpts, demonstrates that there is nothing forceful but casual, if not awkward, flirting from both parties." So that's what they have to say. I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
Why was there a tape in the first place?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know who was filming, and I don't know why, but she was pitching something in a business meeting to him.
Okay.
You're seeing
he got all handsy.
That's it. So what I saw, there was the camera angle was to the side, lower, pointed up. They come in for a quick hug. Weinstein holds on to her and is like moving both his hands up and down her back, and you know.
I didn't know if she was trying to set it question, up to
right.
sting him or something like that.
Because
or,
there was one of the witnesses in the Weinstein case that had gone back as per a request from the New York police to participate in getting further evidence about this.
Okay.
And I think there is maybe audio, Nick. I'm not sure.
But this was supposedly in a meeting, and then apparently another time he ended up raping her is what her claim is. So, but anyway,
what a sweetheart.
That continues, man. Michelle Obama has announced a 10-city book tour for her memoir called Becoming. The former first lady will make stops here in Philadelphia. She's going to be at the Wells Fargo Center on November 29th.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, along with stops in Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, D.C., Boston, Brooklyn, Detroit, Denver, San Jose, and Dallas. In a new video release, she said, "I've spent the last year and a half reflecting on my story as deeply and honestly as I could, and now I'm thrilled to travel the country and do the same with readers this fall. I hope that this tour will inspire others to reflect upon and share their own stories, all the joys and sorrows, all the scars and renewals, so that together we can better recognize that each of us, in our own way, is in a constant process of becoming."
What's even more cool is that when she's here, she's also going to be part of the Monster Truck Show.
Oh, that's
she
pretty
is
awesome.
Going to drive Bigfoot.
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, former First Lady of the United States, Michelle Obama, takes Bigfoot!
She hops up into the cab, revs it a couple times.
Magnesium bombs go off.
Hits the gas.
What a show.
Wow. So that'll be blasting out of the gates at Wells Fargo Center on November 29th.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the motorcycle sphere, going over 70 miles an hour, Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
She's in one of those globes that they ride the motorcycles around.
RBG. RBG.
Oh, my God. You know how they, speaking of that motorcycle sphere.
I would pay to watch that.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
I went to the Ringling Brothers Circus, and they had the stunt guys doing that, and they let somebody come and stand inside.
Oh, no way.
I think I would want to do that.
Really?
I think
really?
I would want to stand inside.
You'd be the standing
guy? I would tell you something. Yeah. Preston, when they have the two going at the same time, it's pretty freaking cool. Yeah.
Give me a suit of armor, and maybe I'll do it.
That's awesome that Michelle Obama is doing that, man.
Yeah.
Right, so
pretty spectacular.
Here you go. This week, Peter Ginsburg. It's going to be awesome. Oh my God! We're watching video of this. Yeah, it looks like they're eventually going to get six people doing this at the same time. That's crazy.
It is.
You're crazy.
You're crazy.
All right,
crazy man.
I like you.
All right. Let me see. Have that music ready, Casey.
All right, here
ABC
we go.
Introduce a full cast of Dancing with the Stars,
ladies and gentlemen.
Season 27. They did it on Good Morning America, and a lot of stop it. Okay. They're not in monster trucks. A lot of people on social media were thinking that they've gone a little shallow into the pool of celebrities.
Not even shallow. Yeah. They're now firmly in the middle of the desert. However, there are a couple that I was actually very excited for. One of them being, you can go through the list. I'll tell you what I was excited for.
You're excited for Nikki Glaser?
Nikki Glaser.
Yeah.
I think she's really, we love her, first off. She came in here and she rocked our socks. But she's also, she's hot.
Yeah, she's hot. She did our dildo racetrack.
Yeah.
And she's got some freaky sex stuff.
But
about,
she's cool, yeah.
Hearing about her boyfriend's, she likes her boyfriend to go have sex with other people and come back and tell her about it. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's kind of, that's...
Cuckoldy.
Cuckoldy, okay.
Yeah. She doesn't want to be there in the room, but she wants to hear about it. It turns her on. Anyhow, Harry Potter alum Ivana Lynch.
I'm down with this.
So she plays that kind of blonde, mousy character who's very quiet.
Oh, Luna Lovegood?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So they're kind of, that's how deep into the Harry Potter realm they're reaching.
Just scratching the surface. However,
she's cute.
She does look cute.
Yeah. Fuller House's Juan Pablo de Pace.
Oh, is that Kimmy Gibbler's husband?
I think so, yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, it's...
You're that, crazy, man.
I don't know. You're crazy.
A little bit miscasting in that show because he is, like, just this...
Super
sexy,
attractive.
Sexy, heartthrob guy, and he's
Is that what they're going for? Are they going for the ironic?
You know what? Maybe that's what they're going for, but he is just a...
He's one of you enjoy my performance, Casey.
Yeah. So Juan Pablo de Pez. And Steve, former Dukes of Hazzard star John Schneider.
Yes, this is very interesting because John Schneider has been in the news recently because of support payments. Remember that, Preston? You were reporting on it.
And he said he would rather go to jail than face the fine.
Right.
He's like, just throw me in for a few days. I'll do that rather than pay the whatever he owes. He feels that he's being unjustly come after, and he said he doesn't want to spend the money.
He says he believes he's being unfairly penalized in the alimony range. So I like him. I've always liked him. I liked him, on all the stuff he's done on Smallville, and he's a good actor.
It says radio host and American Idol mentor Bobby Bones.
So I looked up this guy. I guess he's got a radio show that's really kind of poppy, but he's one of these guys who's on. One of the judges on the talent show.
Okay. Then we have singer Tinashe. Is that how you say her name? I don't know. You know me
and
names.
I don't know, but she's very attractive. I'll
pretty
tell you that.
Spot on with him.
Yeah.
Tinashe?
Tinashe,
no,
69.
You looked at me.
Michael J?
No. Michael J.
Instagram model Alexis Wren.
Yes.
I'm assuming she's really hot.
She's very hot.
Instagram model.
Yeah.
Olympic gold medalist Mary Lou Retton.
Ah.
Okay.
Yeah. And she's looking pretty good.
Is she?
Well, listen. She's an
adorable
athlete,
Yeah. She's never been in it before?
No. She has not.
She was in Scrooged.
She was in Scrooged.
Yeah, played Tiny Tim.
That's that was a couple of years ago. then we have
ladies and gentlemen from the motion picture Scrooge, Mary Lou Retton.
Nick, is that her daughter in the cheerleading uniform?
And her daughter looks exactly like
her. She does. She looks almost spot on to her. Wow.
She's
cute too. All right, so Paralympian Danielle Umstead.
She's blind, right?
I don't know.
I believe she's a blind skier, Preston.
No, that's impossible.
That's what they said.
Shut up.
Check it out.
Okay. You got to look this up. Danielle, spelled D-A-N-E-L-L-E, Umstead.
I think, unless I miss my guess, she has no torso.
Oh, okay. Well, that might be it.
Just her head.
Everything
on
is
her
connected
hips.
With pipe cleaners.
A blind skier?
Is that what it says? Am I right?
Well, I don't know. No, Nick's looking it up. I'm just curious. Is there a Wikipedia page?
Oh, she's a deaf gurner.
She makes the ugly faces, but can't hear
can't
anybody
hear
laughing.
The laugh.
Oh, that's sad. It's wrong. Let's see. They may have spelled her name incorrectly here, Nick. It may be the standard spelling.
Keep going. I'll see if I can find her.
So anyhow, they joined previously confirmed Facts of Life alum Nancy McKeon, which I'm happy with.
I'm happy to see that.
Milo Manheim, who is from Disney Channel's Zombies.
Oh! I watched that. I watched it a couple times.
It's cute.
You've seen it, right?
Or it's Milo, I guess, is his name.
Right. Yeah.
I wonder who he played
it's in Zombie High School. You see,
dude,
they can't.
I watched it.
You know it.
I've watched it. I don't know how many times.
I have a picture, still from the movie on my phone.
Girl and a zombie. let's see what it says here. She is a skier and visually impaired.
Visually impaired.
She's full blown blind.
Is she full blown blind?
Well, I saw her, and on a small pair of skis next to her was a dog.
Oh.
Left.
Two marks for left, one for right. Yeah.
That's not fair to the dog.
That is not fair to the dog.
No. Right.
And
I mean, he's got to bark fast. And you never know if like they're right next to each other.
He also can't really tell you that he doesn't want to do this.
No. He's actually just being dragged along.
Put him on skis.
Yeah. I don't want to do this!
The dog needs to bark. They have a split second between the bark. And
especially on the slaloms.
Yeah.
Is that two? Is that a left?
Oh, and the zombie dude, he's the main character, Steve.
Yeah, so you guys have not seen? Preston, are we the only ones that watch these things?
No, I'm aware. But
okay. But they got to wear these wristbands that if they don't keep them tweaked properly, they revert to full zombieism.
And want to eat people.
Yeah.
Joe...
it's a true story.
Amabile.
I know, I'm just laughing at skiing eye dog.
Amabile. Joe Amabile. I don't know how you say his name. Amabile or Amabile?
Amabile.
Let me say
Jay.
It. Mr. Amabile Amabile.
Jay.
Mr. Bob.
Mr. Bob Dabalina.
Mr. Joe Babalina. Joe Ambalina. He is from Bachelorette season 14. I don't know.
Let's just put it this way. He's a moron.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dancing with the Stars is coming up Monday, September 4th on ABC. And also, Nancy McKeon is the third Facts of Life alum to appear on Dancing with the Stars because Kim Fields did it season 22. And Cloris Leachman, who was on Facts of Life near the end.
Yes.
It was in season 7. So there you go. All right, some other things to get to. Despite being nominated for an Oscar for her role, Viola Davis wishes that she hadn't signed on for the movie The Help. She was answering questions submitted by New York Times readers at the Toronto International Film Festival when she dropped the bombshell. I know she was amazing in it, right? She said, "Have I ever done roles that I've regretted? I have, and The Help is on that list. The Help has been criticized for giving too much credit to white women for improvements in race relations instead of celebrating the role of black women, like Davis's character, Abe Leem."
Didn't
who worked as a maid?
Who was the star of the movie? What's her name?
Chastain. No, it was, Howard. Oh, man.
Dallas
La La
Howard.
Land.
Yeah.
Oh. That she's in it?
Emma Stone. She's the star.
But I never watched it.
Didn't she
Peter.
Say...
Oh, it's an amazing movie, Kate.
Is it?
It's fantastic. Yeah.
Didn't she say the same thing? That she regretted doing the movie?
That I don't know.
I thought she did a while back.
I love it.
That annoys me because what about the people who enjoy the movie? And
it was a great movie.
And I think, to me, I didn't get that. Maybe that's something that's cultural and that's
okay,
a point.
Well, when it comes to the civil rights movement and race struggles, there's a formula that sometimes it's the great white hope that saves the black community.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then there's another version of that where it's the black character inspires the white people to change their mind or something.
Yeah, yeah.
There's like a similar two or three formula.
I've seen
thing.
Articles that you know are echoing what you're saying. And I understand. I think for me, that seemed well balanced.
I agree.
Yeah.
And I think that when it comes to a movie about race relations, you're going to have to, there's going to have to be love on both sides.
Yeah.
There's going to have to be animosity on both sides as
unless
well.
Unless you believe completely one way about one side, well, which is wrong.
For race relations to be improved, it takes both races to embrace and help each other out. So you're going to have black heroes. You're going to have white heroes. You're going to have white villains, and you're going to have black people that have animosity and maybe don't want to. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's
the story. If you complex. Want a story it's... that really the first black teacher of skiing idogs.
Yes.
Is an inspiring story.
Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Did we even say the words skiing idogs?
Nick just said
oh, you did.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
I missed. That's a story has that,
that
has
story
yet
has yet to be told.
Do you think he's on two skis or four skis?
I just think two. You're at two.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, just sitting
gotta,
there.
No.
I mean,
they,
control
because all four
legs.
Limbs would go, like, out away from each other.
I know, Nick,
time.
The way I see it, he's just sort of sitting and barking.
Yeah. Okay.
But we as humans will use a snowboard, and that's one for 2 feet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, so. It's when you put pants on a dog. Do you put them on just the legs or on the butt down?
Yeah, it's
just
the age-old question.
Just right. The butt.
Yes.
Okay.
In this case... I think it's up for grabs. I think it's just personal taste.
It's mm-hmm. up to the dog. I mean, I would assume that skis, a dog skis would be four, right?
But and to dog, Preston's and, point, they're going dog, all askew.
But a dog snowboarding would be two.
Okay. I think we've talked enough about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you sure?
So Davis said that she wants to be a role model for other women of color. She said being that role model and picking up that baton when you're struggling in your own life has been difficult, but I choose to be the leader. She said, I just felt like at the end of the day that it wasn't the voices of the maids that were heard. She said, I know Abilene. I know many. They're my grandmother, my mom. And I know what if you I know that if you do a movie where the whole premise is I want to know what it feels like to work for white people and bring up children in 1963. I want to hear how you really feel about it. And I never heard that in the course of the movie.
It's her opinion.
No,
I
could see a little bit of
it's
that.
Right, but I think it was. I enjoyed the movie, and there was certainly, I think, representative of a situation.
Do you know if the movie was a fiction or if it's based on anything?
It was based. It was based, I think, on interviews. It was sort of worked into a fiction.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
but you know, basically, what the story's created, the way Emma Stone creates the story. That was the genesis of the source material.
I also think that
I don't know
when the scenes where you know
poop cake.
No. One of the maids gets arrested and they all decide, okay, we're gonna talk. That's a very powerful,
it
strong
is.
Moment, and that shows the strength and bravery of these women that are in these roles.
Yeah.
So maybe she's missing that part of it.
Yeah.
Anyhow, she added that the experience for the film herself was positive. She said the friendships that I formed are ones that I'm going to have for the rest of my life. I had a great experience with these other actresses who are extraordinary human beings, and I could not ask for a better collaborator than Tate Taylor, who is the director of the movie.
With all due respect, she needs to shut up.
That's with all due respect?
No. She has the right to have her opinion, and I understand what she's saying. I enjoyed the movie.
I thought it was great.
Yeah.
And I think she still thinks it's a good movie, but anyhow, what else do I have here for you? Just as the Lady Gaga starring in Bradley Cooper helmed A Star Is Born makes its bow at film festivals, producer John Peters is getting attention for accusations of harassment.
John Peters?
Yeah, Peters, who dated Barbara Streisand and was instrumental in bringing the 1976 version of the film to the screen, was found guilty in 2011 for severe and pervasive harassment of former employee Shelley Morita.
I don't doubt it.
He later settled with her in an undisclosed sum.
He was always kind of skeevy.
Warner Brothers is backing away from its ties to Peters. John Peters' attachment to this property said goes back as far as 1976 to the studio. Legally, we have to honor the contractual obligation in order to make this film.
I remember reading a story, Preston. I don't know if you remember this. It got a bit of traction years and years and years ago. He was talking about his kinky habits with Barbara Streisand.
No,
and
they that.
Both apparently would spit on each other.
Oh,
but not like you, not like a spit string where you're trying to get things working. They would they would spit on each other.
He said this?
That's what he said.
Okie dokie.
Is he attached to this movie at all? The latest one?
He may have a percentage ownership of the title. I don't know who technically owns the story of A Star Is Born.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It might be something on that regard. Marissa saw it last night. There was a screening, and she said it was fan-freaking-tastic. Bradley Cooper was in town, and she had a chance to talk to him for for a moment or two.
I think it's 96% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It looks really, really good. She said Lady Gaga, unbelievable. When will we have clips of that, Marissa? Hang on, I can't get to the microphone here. Go ahead.
I think Murph is working on the video now. He came with me to film the interview. So we'll have it later this week and next week. It's like a concert movie that happens to have an amazing love story.
Okay.
It's amazing.
Listen, and I understand this is the case. You notice this movie came about, his directorial effort and the quality that's being attributed to it after he came into the studio here.
Right?
It's clearly a direct cause and effect, which is why I think at some point he should come into the studio,
mm-hmm.
And or at least blow in a phone call. I'm not asking for thanks. I just want to have a little bit more interaction. Well, with our dear personal friend.
We have a screening of the movie, and it is Monday, October 1st at 7:30 at AMC Neshaminy. And if you call now, I'll take five calls. I normally don't do giveaways in the middle of my entertainment news.
Come on, man!
See what B-Cubes does to us, man.
But we're going
to
do it now, and all winners this week will qualify for a trip to the premiere in Los Angeles on Monday, September 24th.
Holy hell!
Yeah, yes.
Well, I mean, you are a major news anchor delivering information. When was the last time you saw Tom Brokaw? We'll get back to that massacre in a second, but who would like to go see a new movie? We have tickets to Scorpion King 3 with Lou Ferrigno.
215-263-WMMR. Call right now, and we'll put you on that list. You'll be registered for the trip, which is pretty cool. How about this? Sarah Jessica Parker borrowed $150,000 worth of jewelry for a photo shoot 2 years ago and never returned the goods.
Come on.
That's according to court documents filed by Cat Florence Design per The Blast.
Who borrows jewelry and then doesn't return?
You know what, though? You know what? I think that that these people, a lot of times, are given things. So when they do a shoot or they have this, they don't automatically think, oh, I have to return this. They probably think it's being gifted
to me. I think
me.
You're right. Because many is the time they will just be gifted, and the idea is, here's your payment. You wear this out and get me the exposure, and they're even.
You
wasn't she accused of this before, like taking
horseshoes?
No. Yeah. Clothes at photo shoots, I want to say, or am I thinking of somebody else?
It's possible.
Well, Lindsay Lohan was thrown in with
maybe
the same
thing.
Maybe
that's what I'm thinking of, yeah.
Do you know, Preston, she was considered to be the heir apparent, basically, to Anna Wintour? You know,
no.
That
she was?
Yes. Really?
I knew they were friends.
They're best buds, and that was the word.
Okay. A couple more quick things, then we got to take a break. By the way, the defendant asked if she could personally borrow several pieces of the jewelry. This is a statement. To wear for a few months and then return all the pieces thereafter and didn't. That's the accusation. Speaking about what Steve was saying earlier, just a week after Cosby Show alum Jeffrey Owens was photographed working at Trader Joe's. Trader Joe's, he's been booked in an acting gig. He has blamed Bill Cosby's sex scandal for his lack of work, but he will guest star on NCIS New Orleans. And he also recently nabbed a recurring role on Tyler Perry's The Haves and Haves Not. So he accepted the offer from Tyler Perry.
It's very cool. And to the point about him blaming Bill Cosby, all of that syndication money that was coming in from The Cosby Show went away.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Because they took the
show
stopped.
Up. Yeah. All right. And then one last story. And this is a biggie. According to The Hollywood Reporter, Henry Cavill, who played Superman in 3 films, is exiting the franchise. Warner Brothers wanted Cable to appear for a cameo in Shazam, which is coming out on April 5th, but contract talks broke down due to scheduling conflicts. The studio is far from heartbroken, according to sources who claim that there's a, quote, recognition that some parts of the previous movies didn't work, and that Superman is like James Bond, and after a certain run, you have to look at new actors.
That's absolutely true. I think Henry Cavill was a fine Superman.
I thought he was a great Superman.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed where that was going. However, he was really good in Mission Impossible. Apparently, Nick, you saw him. He was great.
Oh, he was great, yeah.
He has a solid career ahead of him. So, I don't know. The word is that DC and Warner Brothers can't part ways quick enough. That they're like, okay, we don't know what to do. However, Aquaman is still coming out, and there is still a Flash movie that is in the works. They're apparently into production, so another Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
I don't see, maybe if, let DC handle it, you know, the way Marvel has become its own entity, and, you know, obviously it's under the Disney umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
We enjoy all the movies. You said like I certainly enjoy. Are they are they Marvel good? No, they are not.
Oh, but they're still
fun.
They may have jumped to the Justice thing League a little too quickly, but
I agree.
But it was I like them. I still like them.
I never saw Justice League, but obviously this throws into a wrench in the plans for Justice League 2, right? Like that can't happen. Now.
Well, it can. It just might happen. I mean, if you at the end of Justice League, you see the. The teaser for the second Hulk.
Who would be a good replacement?
They were actually talking about Michael B. Jordan, which would be which I don't think not for anything. He's already been in two Marvel character projects.
Yeah,
He was Fantastic Four and Black Panther.
Right, and I honestly, what I would love to see him play, I think it would be perfect because I'm a huge fan of the character Blade. Do a Blade
reboot. Michael B. Jordan?
No. Yeah, because Blade is a Marvel character.
He'd be badass.
He'd be badass.
I agree.
I heard DC is going to go, Steve, in the younger female direction so that they're going to focus on Supergirl.
Yes.
And they're going to make that kind of Supergirl, Wonder Woman, The Flash, and they're going to go younger with their superheroes and aim for that demographic.
They certainly can. You know, they remember years ago that Helen Slater?
Yeah.
Now, Helen Slater actually plays Supergirl's mother on the TV version.
Okay. But I think there are three separate Joker projects in the works right now. Like, there's one with Suicide Squad. There's a standalone one with Jared Leto. And then there's the Joaquin Phoenix one. So they just, like, they don't have their act together the way Marvel does.
Yeah. All right. We're ready to move on with some clips here. And then get out of here. The relationship between actors can be very different from how they are on screen. Here, Rachel Bilson talks about a relationship with her co-stars on the set of Take Two.
Working with Eddie's actually a lot of fun. We find ourselves laughing most of the day, so it makes work just not work, basically. He's really easy to work with, super professional, and a really good guy and good actor.
I don't give a f***.
New episode of Take Two is on tonight at 10 o'clock. Here's the next clip. There are a lot of movies and shows based on books like Shooter, starring Ryan Phillippe. And here, Ryan talks about the transition of the character from the pages of a book to the pages of a script.
There's 8 books written about Bob Lee Swagger. So our idea is to do one book each season, as long as we go. There's a lot of material there. You always have to start with a good story and good script. And we know we have lots and lots of material to work from.
You're loco, man.
Shooter is on tonight, 10 o'clock on USA, by the way.
Did you see the picture of him? He was at some concert recently. This is a Ryan Phillippe with the shirt off.
No. Was he doing it at a concert with his shirt off? Was it outside?
Well, no, no.
Well, he look like he does without
his
shirt.
He can.
On.
He is now has a license. You got to see how cut up this guy is. How old is he?
But is it outside?
It's outside. No, it's not like he's inside of an Applebee's.
Right. See, I thought maybe if he was.
It was like a festival.
That's a bit much. But he's in great shape.
He's in incredible shape.
There you go. All right, you can watch him be in great shape on Shooter tonight at 10 o'clock on USA. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. Josh Wolf is going to be here. Sebastian Maniscalco, we're going to talk to him. And we're also going to check him at Fox Good Day. We normally do that on Wednesday, but we're doing it today. So that is coming up.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live. When you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
The Bohemian Rhapsody film, Steve, Nick just pulled it up, and November 2nd.
November 2nd
is when that will come out. And it should be cool. I turned my son Carter on to Queen. I was watching like Palladium or something like that. And it showed a 1982 concert with them. And I was like, hey, I'm like, come here.
Yeah.
Watch this guy. And this is one of the best front men that's ever stepped onto a stage. And he was just like mesmerized by Freddie Mercury, which is cool.
I don't know, or maybe I forgot, but Bryan Singer's the director of this movie.
Yeah.
Of X-Men fame. And
yeah, correct. Yeah.
Why did I not
usual suspects?
Know that?
Yeah, I had no idea until just now. I looked at the IMDb and yeah.
Never saw Queen in concert. Wish I would have. I mean, even with, Paul Rogers led the band for a little bit, or fronted the band, I should say. And so did, what's his name?
From Idol.
American Idol.
Yeah.
American Idol.
Come on.
You know the name? Do you know?
I hate him. Adam something.
Adam
I
hate him. Lambert.
Lambert.
Adam Lambert. I don't hate
Apparently
him.
He's really
hate
good.
Him? Yeah. But speaking of concerts and live shows, a New York-based concert promotion and venue management company has purchased the Electric Factory. And we found out already that iconic Electric Factory logo on the top of the building, it's gone.
Oh,
what
really?
In the hell is gone? Pancake drove by there yesterday, took a picture of it, posted on social media. I mean, that's one of those things I was kind of counted on when I drove by there, is to see that big Electric Factory logo up there. It is gone.
That was quick.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It'll continue as a music venue?
It's been picked up by a production company or a promotion company called The Bowery Presents, which has merged with AEG Presents. And they own Union Transfer. They also, let me see, Electric Factory will join the other U.S. venues in the New York company's portfolio, including the Keswick Theater.
Okay.
And there's a couple of more.
I think maybe the truck some of the time, too.
Is it the man?
It might.
Well, the age. Well, some of these concert promoters do some shows at certain venues, but not all.
Okay. Right?
Like they don't control the venue the way like a Live Nation does
So the Elton John shows last few nights were not Live Nation shows, but Live Nation does a lot of shows at the Wells Fargo Center, but not all of them.
Yeah.
And so the same goes for the man. The man books some of their own shows as well.
So the previous owner is Larry Magid Entertainment Group, and Larry Magid's been there, I think maybe since day one.
Forever.
He's been around for a long, long time. Can I just say that and this is not being not a disparaging.
Yeah.
I've never liked the Electric Factory.
Oh, you see, either. I can't believe you said that, because I felt like I was the only person that didn't like going there and going to shows there.
Yeah.
No, I enjoyed it. But however, after Electric Factory sort of split from Live Nation, they weren't booking good shows there. I mean, they're just acts that were going in and out of that building weren't all that great. And every, once in a while, they would get like an up-and-comer. Like I saw, who did I see there? I saw Mumford & Sons there. You know, I've seen the Train Anastasio band there.
I saw Marilyn Manson when he was just starting to make his way up. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I saw a lot of great shows, a lot of great bands there.
The Beastie Boys there, 311.
I just never liked the venue itself. It's just a warehouse. Acoustically, I didn't care.
Yeah. I liked the. I saw a lot of good shows there, and I liked the venue. The issue was the parking in and around the area.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god!
And if it was a popular show, you were dealing with kind of a nightmare scenario. And then the running joke was, if a guy tells you he's working parking for the Electric Factory, you have about a 10% chance that he is.
Oh no, I'd always get, hey, I'll keep an eye on your car.
Right,
for
right,
you.
Right. Yeah.
After I've already paid for parking.
But I'll tell you one of the best shows I ever saw was the Killers at the Electric Factory.
Okay. Yeah, you wouldn't pay for parking as much as I'm paying you to not.
Deal with your car ever. Yeah, exactly.
It's like the mob, you know. Yeah. It would be a shame if something happened to your establishment.
Yeah.
I didn't like being down on the floor. I was okay with being up on the balcony. The sound in that room was never great, in my opinion. But there was something kind of gritty and... What?
No, I'm sorry, Nick. There's a great memory that'll only ring true or nostalgic for us here in the room. It was one of our former producers at the Squirrel Nut Zippers were on stage performing.
Concert,
right.
Yeah, Cherry Pop and Daddy's.
Cherry Pop and Daddy, right. Yeah. And we just had an experience that made me chuckle, but I'm sorry. Yeah.
No.
I'll tell you about it in a minute.
I saw some great shows there. And Preston, I know you're not a big fan, but Casey and I went and saw Mumford & Sons there in like 2010, and it was right as they were ascending, and that like the energy in that building was phenomenal. I saw Bon Jovi tape a special there one time, and so it was an MTV special, and they had all these camera rigs set up, and it was, I think it was MMR Presents. But that it was pretty cool to see, and this was like 2005 or something like that. This was cool to see a big band like Bon Jovi in a small venue.
Preston, do you remember we did a Maxim? We were judges for a Maxim model search, and Robert Kelly was the MC for the evening.
Is that who it was?
Yes.
The comedian.
Oh, we're going to have him in next week.
Yeah. And members of the Roots were judging. I think J-Roll might have been.
Seriously?
Yeah, wow. Would have been one of the judges, too. Yeah.
That was at the heyday of Maxim, wasn't it?
Yeah, big time.
I'll tell you what, though, Nick. You said you liked the upstairs. That was actually the part that I didn't like.
No
kidding.
Because
it was only 21 plus up there, and that's where the bar was. So that was so crowded that it was really, really tough to navigate that. And it was really only one way up and down. unless you had like a VIP thing, then you could go up the back entrance. Well, so it was a pain.
We're speaking as if it's in the past. Do we know if there are plans to remodel it, or is it just they're just simply going to take over and run it?
I have no idea. The only thing they're planning on doing right now is renaming it.
Yeah,
and they're doing a name search right now. They're doing a public naming contest. And
how about you name it the Electric Factory?
And well, somebody texted in. Said, "Let's all band in and vote for the Electric Factory." But they started the public naming contest. It will accept submissions through September 30th. I don't have a link or know the exact website, but you can do a quick
I feel like any time stuff like this happens, no one's ever happy with the name.
Happy with the name. They're never happy with the decision. And then again, as you see right in this room, we're split on experiences with the Electric Factory.
Yeah.
However, it does make you appreciate one thing, and having this discussion about the Met, the new Live Nation facility. The amount, I grew up in New York and did most of my early concert going in New York. There are more places to go see concerts around here that I would want to go to than there ever were up there. It was, we live in a really rich area for concert venues.
Marissa, your first ever concert was at the Electric Factory, I think?
Oh, yeah. Not my first ever concert, but my first concert at the Electric Factory was Sugar Ray. February 14th, 1999, Mark McGrath climbed up the speakers and around the side and, like, jumped down. And I love listening to you guys tell these stories because I was, like, in the audience of these shows that you guys were at.
That we were running,
Or Ben Harper or G-Love and The Roots. And, oh, my God, like, I have so many memories from the place. And it was a pit.
But I loved it. Okay.
Every weekend, my dad would drop me off, and I realized that he would drop me off and wait outside for me to be there because he knew that that was safer than me drinking in the woods.
Drinking in the woods.
My little girl likes to go in the woods.
Kind of.
I jammed on stage at the Electric Factory one time, and it was at, Steve, we had DRE's Bitterfest. The last night of WDRE broadcasting live happened at the Electric Factory, and we had G-Love and Special Sauce performed, and who else was there? The band that did Scooby Snacks. You remember that case?
Oh.
No, you weren't there. It was, Fun Loving Criminals.
That's okay. It.
And there was another group, and I don't remember who it was, but we had a great time. And so I do have fond memories.
Yeah.
Just as a venue in and of itself, I never really cared for it. The only thing I really liked about it was the gigantic guitar. hanging out there. I thought that was Les Paul.
The first concert I ever saw there was after college. I went and saw Guster.
Guster!
I remember that name. I couldn't tell you a song.
The funny thing about Guster was that my buddies were like, "Yeah, we're going to go see Guster." And I'm like, "I've never heard of this stupid band. Like, yeah, they're opening up for George Clinton." I go, "Why don't you lead with George Clinton?" And I would, I was like, "All right, well, I'll go see Guster, but I really just want to see, Parliament Funkadelic."
Yeah.
D-Funk.
Yeah, we would take road trips down from Lewisburg, Casey, to go see shows at the Electric Factory and the
Lewisburg.
Lewisburg, PA.
Otisburg.
But it was far, but one of the best venues even for us up there was to come down to Philly. Which came first, Electric Factory concerts as an entity as a concert promoter, or the Electric Factory as a concert venue?
I think the Electric Factory as a concert venue.
Okay. I don't know. It came out in 1968. That's when it opened, though. Same year as MMR.
The building did.
Yeah.
Okay. So
the Live
or
Nation.
It was at a different location. I'm sorry. Yeah. It wasn't originally where it is now, which, by the way, they've renamed temporarily North 7th.
Yeah, and you can vote on PrestonandSteve.com. It's one of the links there, so you can learn all about this story that we're talking about and then follow that to vote. But Live Nation was Electric Factory Concerts before it was Live Nation.
Right. Yeah. All right, so wait. They already have the potential names that you can vote on?
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't know if they're having free suggestions or if there's already a list, Case. I have no idea. Marissa knows, though.
Okay, because I did a lot of research about this yesterday because this is my life. Okay, so the building will stay as a concert venue. They're just going to renovate it.
Good.
Live Nation owns the name Electric Factory. So when they took it over, the Bowery Presents is not allowed to keep the name.
Okay.
So that's why it's happening. And there's a whole bunch of concerts that are happening already. Like, Seether's this weekend. Flock of Seagulls is next week. And they're all happening too.
They're all happening.
Hey, by the way, so it's been a long time since I've been there. But am I correct in recalling that up on that upper floor, didn't they have like a whole lot of box fans across the top?
Yeah.
Was that it?
Yeah.
To cool the place off?
Yes. And it's gone through.
That's pretty ratty when you're using box fans.
Yeah. Hey, Press, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, it's gone through so many iterations. Like, it started with just that one riser in the back and, like, the bar up top, but then they added, like, a bar on the side.
I remember when they debuted that. We were in charge of getting the word out about that.
And then, like, upper tier and everything.
Stop scrolling. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm going to read up this list. Go ahead. No, you go ahead and finish. Marissa.
I'm finished too.
Okay. Thank you. I was just trying to get the interns to stop before they kept scrolling through this this list of the lost 80s live, because Marissa just said Flock of Seagulls. Oh, it's also Wang Chung and Naked Eyes and Animotion. Jean Les Jezebel, Bow Wow Wow as well.
So I've seen all of them in concert.
That's pretty cool. That's a good show. Preston, what was the venue that we were at for a Halloween party where you dressed like the Warriors?
That was the Electric Factory. Okay. And Casey, we were trying to do, oh my God, I'll never forget this. I've never told this story on the air before. We were having a costume contest, and everyone was in agreement. We were going to have this costume contest. We were going to pick out some finalists. We were going to go up on stage, crowd applause. We were going to decide who the winner was, blah, blah, blah. Bush was playing that night. Halloween event.
President Bush.
And no, not President Bush, the band Bush, Gavin Rossdale and company. And so they decide that, no, we're not going to let you guys on stage to do it. So you need to stand down below there and do it.
That's right.
And I'm like, seriously, man? This has only been mapped out for months now.
Yep.
And
so, it pissed us off.
That was the band's management saying that we didn't want to do it. So we get up there and we start doing this thing. And while we're doing it, somebody throws a beer. It lands on
Casey. So what happened was, and I still don't know to this day whether or not if I got hit in the head with a quarter or a piece of ice or whatever. And it wasn't until recently that I realized that maybe whoever threw that thing wasn't necessarily aiming for me specifically, but it felt like a direct shot. Like, I'm going to hit Casey with this marble or this quarter or this piece of ice or whatever it was. But I didn't see it coming, and I just, boom, get hit in the head. I took it real personal.
You take everything very personal.
Well, dude, you didn't get hit in the head with a marble.
I know.
All right. So, but... after I get hit in the head with this thing, you were like, all right, yeah, everybody, just throw some stuff.
No.
I know. I don't think that was it.
No, yeah. I remember some liquid.
I was dazed. I don't know.
Some liquid splash.
Just made by a marble.
And I just offhandedly, I was on the mic, and I was like, oh, somebody threw their beer. I'm like, okay, so let's get this out of our system. Everybody throw your beer at Casey.
Yeah, thanks, Dave.
And I didn't think everybody was going to do it.
Because if
I'm holding a beer, I'm not throwing my beer. I waited in line for this. I'm going to hang on to my beer. And sure enough, everybody started throwing their beers at Casey. I didn't think they were going to do it. I was like, whoa, stop. So anyway, we go through, we do the contest. It's over with. And then we're waiting for Bush to take the stage.
Right.
And we're waiting. And by the way, before, when we got done... The manager, the road manager, came over and said, he's like, nice work, a-hole, or something like that. He started getting pissed off at me. And I was like, F you, man. I go, you know what? Don't ever have us back here
again. Preston.
That's exactly what I said.
This is the point I wanted to make, because your face was all painted like Warriors and stuff like that.
Yeah, I was dressed as the Furies from the Warriors.
I got to tell you. Because you were arguing with this guy, you were yelling. He was you first, and then you
had a baseball bat,
dude. You look like a badass.
Oh yes.
Oh okay. Yes, you were like
one and only time in my life. Yeah. I yell at him. I go. Never have us back here again. That I was really being a jerk. And so we're waiting for Bush to come on, and we're waiting, and it was like an hour before they came on, and it wasn't until like a couple weeks later I heard, you know, they did that on purpose.
Oh, the band did.
Yeah, that they waited, that the manager made them wait to piss us off because of that thing that I did. So I didn't know that.
Listen, they were being a-hole. The manager was being an a-hole well before any of that happened. He was being irascible and a pain to work with, and that was part of the deal. So,
I always felt kind of bad about that, actually.
What was the promotion that we did there with OK Go? Do you guys remember that?
They played for a high school. I think it might have been for Camp Out for Hunger.
That's right.
Largest donation by a high school.
It was an afternoon show.
Yeah, we did that a few years in a row.
Or maybe it was.
No, Sick Puppies.
Sick. and we did Thousand Foot Crotch or something like that. And showed up. But anyway, OK Go did a free show.
That was
for
the most successful one that we did for Camp Out for Hunger. Yeah, okay, I remember that.
So that was in the Electric Factory. That was cool.
Yeah.
And I saw a lot of great shows there, and I'm not, you know.
And sometimes you came out and your car was still there.
Yeah. Dude, one time,
One time I had to get a group of guys because the parking attendant, here's another one. Is this me being a diva? I pull in and somebody like Dan Fine or somebody that worked at the radio station was there and they're like, hey, yeah, just park right here because it's a fun spot. And I pulled in and I park and the parking attendant's like, you can't park there. And I'm like, dude, it's an open spot. I'm going to park here. I paid for my parking. I'm working for the radio station. We're doing an event tonight. So I park there and I come out and the show's over. And the dick double parked somebody, parked me in.
After the show?
During the show at some point.
Yeah, but you came out after the
show. Yeah, and there was a car there, so I couldn't move my car at all.
You're not being a diva.
So, you know what I did? I started, hey, can somebody help me? Hey, guys, come over here. Come over here. And I got about 10 guys, and we picked up and we moved the car.
Shut up.
Are you serious?
It was a That's small awesome. Car. It was like a Metro Geo or something.
Oh, yeah,
like
you could
that.
Do that. Yeah, yeah.
It was Metro. Tiny. I'm like, we can move this. I'm like, we can do this, man.
Oh,
and
my
so
God.
We moved it out 90 degrees. We just picked up the rear
because
the front was way too heavy.
Yeah.
And picked it up and moved it around so I could back the car out. So I have fond memories of it.
Yeah. It sounds like you had a great time.
After the Beastie Boys, they did a surprise concert there. They announced a concert on a Monday, performed on a Wednesday. And after that concert in particular, I watched two people bite it after sucking down nitrous balloons. One chick fell face first into the bumper of a car.
Ooh.
Yes, I know. And
ouch.
Then another person. I'm like, listen, you know, first of all, don't huff balloons. But if you are going to huff a balloon, sit down. Because if you...
Yeah.
If you're standing up,
it makes you lightheaded
and you're going to fall over. So just protect yourself. But like, I don't even know, a minute or two after that, another chick that I was with fell over a parking block and chipped her tooth.
Night.
Mm-hmm.
So the venue's going to continue. It'll be a music venue. They're going to do some reconstruction, obviously. So we'll see what it becomes. But I mean... The one thing that's very true, Preston, that whole iconic, the sign as you would drive down 676.
Yeah.
It's like...
you used to see
kind of look forward to that.
Yeah, and Marissa...
It's Ben Franklin!
Marissa, you said that there's a group of guys that keep stuff like that in a warehouse?
Yeah, there's some guys in Kensington that have, like, the Denim King sign from East Passyunk, and I know, like, the Pearl sign just came down off of South Street, the Pearl Art sign, things like that. They collect them, and we'll keep them out there. They sell them, or they just hold on to them and hope that someone will buy them, or they're just props or something like that for famous, you know, Philly scenes if somebody wants to recreate something. So like I wonder if those guys have them.
It's like the guy who kept the S from the Spectrum.
Yeah.
Did he get it signed by Elton John?
No.
He was trying to get it signed by Elton John?
Yeah.
Elton did a bunch of shows at the Spectrum over the years, but he keeps trying, and milking that thing is long.
Yeah, why not?
I just had a thought, too, about, like, crowd surfing at concerts. I'm so nostalgic right now. Foo Fighters... Dave Grohl played a whole set with Queens of the Stone Age, then ran back and then played a set with Foo Fighters. And I used to crowd surf at those shows. I would take off my Adidas sandals, take everything out of the pockets of my JNCOs, including the camera that I
hidden
in my pants. I would hand it to my girlfriend and say, I'll meet you in the back in 10 minutes. And I would find the two tallest guys in the room, and I would have him lift me up. I would crowd surf to the front, barefoot, get the guy to catch me. And then that place was disgusting, and I would run to the back of the room and meet my girlfriend by the merch tent, and then we would push ourselves up to the front of the room and do it all again.
Yeah. Wow, so you worked that room big time. You were always there, you're saying.
Yes, and I learned not to crowd surf at a violent femme show because nobody is into that.
Smelliest band that's ever lived.
You know a place I missed? And Marissa, you might know what it is now. I don't know if it's anything, but you guys remember Polyester's?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was right across the parking lot from that place, wasn't it?
No.
No, that was Shampoo.
Shampoo was there. I don't know if that's there anymore. Polyester's around the corner from the truck.
That was like a girls' night out, was we're going to Polyester's.
Yeah because it was different themes for every floor. You had like your 70s, your 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. I only went there one time, and I do remember that. That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I remember I wore leather pants the last time I went there. I swear to God, I remember.
My name is Romano. I think I'm on the real call list.
I remember who I was with and everything. God, I'm not even friends with them anymore.
Yes, I'm a cheerleader.
Hang on a second. I'm going to go to Brian. Hi, Brian. Good morning.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good. What's up, Brian?
Good. My best time at the Electric Factory was, remember when Metallica re-released Garage Days? I think it was back in the late 90s. They did a free concert series for that. It was a tour. they played at the Electric Factory, and they had a, I think it was a local band, actually, it was a cover band for them, came and opened up for them. And then they did a series of cover tunes after the cover band for them at the Electric Factory. It was a great show, nice, small. I think it was only 2,000 people were there.
Yeah.
Most incredible time I ever had seeing Metallica live.
And that's one of the attractions of a place like the Electric Factory and, yeah. And the smaller venues that I think we have such a wealth of in the area. I mean, you're going to see them the way you have never seen them before. I mean, the Dropkick Murphys did a run. They performed there many times. Who Preston, wouldn't we also do the the miniature golf thing there, too?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we did the Mini Masters.
The Mini Masters.
That's right. I forgot about that.
We should bring that back.
So the Philadelphia Wings are coming back this year, and there was sort of a what is the name of the franchise going to be? And they went with the Wings. I wouldn't be surprised if they just renamed this thing the Electric
Factory. Why would you cash in all of that?
Well, they said Live Nation owns that name.
I know, but like some version of it, some way.
The most electric factory.
Yeah, so. The even more electric factory. But yeah. But some way of maintaining the nostalgia, maintaining the history of the place, and not altering how Philadelphia views the venue. Mm.
What should come back that went away?
What do you mean? As a venue?
Venues, yeah. Or just, we're talking about little pieces of nostalgia around the area. I know, Kathy, you were a huge fan instead of polyesters.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't really thought about that much. I
mean, Maui.
A lot of stuff is done. Maui. Oh, my God.
Oh, man. That place. Oh, because we would get there early before people would show up, and it smelled so bad.
Yeah.
It's not anything anymore, right? They tore that completely
down. Did they?
Yeah.
I think that's right. A lot of that stuff got
They should bring
out.
Back that Hooters that was half sunk.
That boat.
On Delaware Avenue. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. It's an artificial reef now.
It's an artificial reef. If you're not familiar with it, if you're newer to the area, for the longest time, there was a half-submerged floating Hooters.
Yeah. For years.
For years.
It sat there halfway
submerged
into the Delaware River.
Is Rock Lobster a thing anymore? Is that even a venue anymore?
Yeah, I forgot.
Is that what is that called now?
It was Octo, and now it is called Morgan's Pier.
Okay.
And it's probably just open for a few more weeks. And by the way, update, Polyesters was at 12th and Race, and it is currently a 4 point by Sheridan Hotel. Right there by the convention center.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Hey, what's Sugar Mom's now?
It's nothing.
Yeah, that whole area. Sugar Mom's was on Market Street, right?
Well, right off of Market off. Church, yeah. I think was the name of the. Was a bank? It was on. No, it was on a little alleyway.
It was an old city.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just stores right now, or like restaurants.
No, I think it's not there anymore.
Sugar Mom's? No, Sugar Mom's closed a while ago.
That was the. Remember, that was the apartment. There was an apartment above it. My friend lived there, and you could hear the elevator because you had to take an elevator to go downstairs, and you would hear the elevator every time it moved. So until like 3 o'clock in the morning, and he offered his apartment to me one weekend, and we stayed there, and I like hit the roof like a cat, like jumped up.
Whatever the elevator.
Oh my God! I was like, "What the hell is that?" He's like, "Oh, I forgot to tell you about the elevator."
People are texting in, Steve. The Valley Forge Music Fair. There was a similar venue in New York,
Westbury.
And
the Theater in the Round.
The music fair rotated.
Yeah,
and I saw the first few concerts that I ever went to in my life, including Chicago. Was at the Valley Forge Music Fair.
Wow. Well, interesting reminiscing, and we'll find out what the future of the Electric Factory is and what it will be called. It's been picked up by a promotional company called The Bowery Presents. And, so that sign's gone. That's kind of sad, but we'll see.
It might come back.
If they're going to rehash it and make it a better place, more power to them, man. That's great. Listen, we got to take a break. We're going to do something we normally don't do on a Thursday. We're going to go live on Fox Good Day, so I want to make sure that we're back in time for that. Got to hear about Alex's little trip on her own and her vocal rest and all that stuff. We missed it yesterday, so we'll be back in just a moment.
Throughout 2018, MMR celebrates 50 years rockin' Philly. Keep listening for special birthday events and special programming from our long, strange trip together. Every hour this weekend, we highlight 1985, the year MMR turned 17. It was the year Nintendo hit the U.S., New Coke was released, and Live Aid took place right here in Philly.
Live from JFK Stadium.
Stadium in Philadelphia, USA.
We saw Back to the Future, The Breakfast Club, and The Goonies on the big screen. At MMR, the DJs had new music from these bands. Tears for Fears, Dire Straits, The Cure, Phil Collins, Sting, A-ha, The Cult, In Excess, John Fogerty, and so many more from 1985.
Listen all weekend as we highlight another page from our scrapbook of shared musical memories.
Sponsored by Expedition Escape, Philadelphia's top-rated live-action escape room attraction.
93.3 WMMR, everything that's rocked Philly for 50 amazing years.
I know it's normally we do this on a Wednesday, but we're doing it now. We're going live on Fox Good Day.
Hey!
Here we go.
Hey, Preston and Steve, we noticed yesterday that you were talking about our Alex Holly.
You were talking about me.
Yes. Hey,
good thing,
we miss you, and we're glad you're back, Alex.
Thank you. Long back.
Yeah, but we saw, we were looking at pictures of you on Instagram and this awesome trip you took out west, and you went by yourself, and it sparked, at least we think you went by yourself, and it sparked a full conversation of traveling alone, and we wanted to hear a little bit about your trip, you know?
Oh, well, that's funny you said we think you went by yourself because no one seems to believe me, and I don't.
Well,
and I'm like, why don't you believe me?
We know you'd gone. The word is, the rumor, you were the main subject of the conversation about taking trips alone and how much of, like, going on walkabout and that clearing your mind thing. Preston did it once into Yellowstone. I've done it. When I did stand-up comedy, I was out traveling by myself all the time across the country. Mm-hmm. It is a good sort of emotional cleanse. Is that your experience?
Yeah, well, for me, of course, it was a little different reason because I was put on vocal rest and I have some vocal cord issues, so I couldn't talk.
Yeah.
So it was frustrating being around people. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go somewhere by myself with my little dry erase board. That's how I communicated. And so I can get away. I won't be pressured to talk. But I've always had an interest in it. And you're right. It's like you get in a sense of adventure and being out on your own and getting the time to actually think and, like, talk to yourself. And we're showing, I know you guys can't see it, but we're showing a video now because no one believes that I was by myself. But there's a video where I'm showing there's no one around me. But everyone was asking, though, well, if you're by yourself, how do you have these pictures?
Yes, that was the question.
That's why people think I wasn't by myself.
Well,
so
I used the wide shot. Some of them are so wide. You had to talk somebody into, now stay here. I'm going to walk, you know, 100 yards away. Are you good with that?
Don't steal my phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Well, I went to, this was in Page, Arizona. So I was at where the Horseshoe Bend is in Antelope Canyon. So there's lots of people there. But I challenge people when you travel, you can do two things. You can look where everyone's looking, where the big major thing, or you can turn around too and see what's behind us that nobody's paying attention to.
That's great.
And that's where there's fewer people and you can see kind of cool landscapes.
That's the fascinating stuff. Our perception is, though, when a big city TV talent like Alex Holly comes into town, that these small places you're in suddenly become a buzz. Right. So were people, while you're on vocal rest, you had your erase board, were people put off by that, or did they think you were being rude, Yeah, exactly.
Oh, did you really not talk?
I got all kinds of looks, and one person was like, oh, one guy, because I was on a tour, he said, can you hear me? I was like, I can hear you, sir. I can't respond. Some people thought I was being a little ridiculous.
Hey, Alex.
But once I wrote out, this is what I do for a living, they're like, oh. And then they got it.
Okay. Because it's still, we're in the business, and we were like, vocal rest?
Yeah,
really?
Nick has a question.
Alex, where was that one McDonald's with the turquoise arches?
Oh, it's in Sedona.
Sedona's
Arizona.
Beautiful.
It's the only one. And because they have like an ordinance where they only want certain colors because of the red rocks that they have.
Right.
They want it to be complimentary. But my thing is, that is really close to Eagles Green. And now that we know McDonald's can do this, why can't we have an Eagles Green McDonald's here in Philly? Like, they should have themed
one. Yeah, I think the one on South Broad where the parade went by. Yeah.
Exactly.
That would have been perfect. Eagles Green. Sedona is, by the way, is a hot spot for UFO spotting. Did you see any UFOs while you're out there?
I did not.
All right.
Well, it got dark so early. I was so tired from hiking. I just went right to bed.
She said there was one UFO, unidentified object, and that was her boyfriend.
Ah.
The guy
who was taking the pictures.
Thank you, guys, though.
Thank you.
It's so good to talk to you again.
Yeah, as well.
Chris and I were hanging out yesterday.
We heard with Bradley Cooper.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you guys went back to Marissa's place, and the fun ensued. It's great.
Yeah. Oh, is that why they walked? I was wondering why they walked off. I didn't see what was going on.
Okay. See you next week, guys.
Good to see you. Guys. All right, so normally not a Thursday thing, but we wanted to hear about Alex's little getaway.
Yeah,
I can't believe she had the dry erase board and really... didn't speak. I don't know that if somebody said to me, can you hear me? I'd say, yes, I can hear you. I don't know that I could write it down and not speak.
Hey, yeah. How the hell would, so they talk, I mean, they talk for a bit, obviously. We talk far more. How the hell would we know if we needed vocal rest?
Well, so they were getting sick over there, and it was filtering through the, apparently, apparently it was filtering through their newsroom, and it was coming, like it was wrapping back around.
They
They kept getting sick. Yeah, so she wasn't the only one that was on vocal rest. There were a number of people.
Really?
Yeah, that they put out on vocal rest.
Okay.
Yeah. And I guess, listen, if Kathy, though, if it's your livelihood and you're aware of it, then you will do what you got to do.
Yeah.
You know, so
we don't. We just keep going.
But that's a good idea for her to just leave and get away from people that she knows and just try to be a little solitary for a while and not speak.
I think that's
a good idea.
I want to do that and probably live there for the rest of my life.
At Fox 29?
No. Oh. And not have to talk to anybody.
Yes.
You want to live out in like the wilderness? And
Kathy, your problem isn't talking to people. People, it's listening to people.
You have no room to talk.
Talking.
As if people are being, geez, I hope Kathy wants to talk to me.
No, I'm just like, would you just shut up, please?
Yeah, please.
Let me talk.
I'm very busy. I'm putting together an activities list.
Which, by the way, why don't you talk a little bit about the traffic this morning, Kathy? What's going on? We skipped that.
I'm on vocal rest. Do something else. 295 southbound jam 70 to 168. An accident off to the shoulder northbound is heavy route 130 to the 42 freeway. 42. Backing up northbound from Blackwood Clementon Road to 295, 55 northbound jams 47 to 42. An accident cleared off of 95 southbound. It's jammed Ridley Park to the Commodore Barry Bridge, but the accident gone. Also southbound slowing from Cotman through to Girard and then out in Bucks County, 295 between Langhorne and the Scudder Falls Bridge. An accident just cleared from there as well. 95 northbound slows Chichester Ave to Curlin Street on the Schuylkill Expressway. Expect delays eastbound 202 to Belmont Boulevard into Girard westbound. Passing to South Street, the Boulevard out to Gladwin. Pennsylvania Turnpike westbound. Heavy Norristown to Valley Forge. An accident there off to the shoulder. This traffic report brought to you by Penn Medicine. Penn Medicine is ranked among the top in the nation and number one here at home by U.S. News and World Report. It's one more reason why your life is worth Penn Medicine. Learn more at PennMedicine.org.
All right.
And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR. Don't cut me off!
Wow. See, and if you were on vocal rest, you wouldn't be able to yell at me like that. All right, we got to do the Bizarre File. Sorry.
Now, WMMR presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Robbins Diamonds in tax-free Delaware with thousands of rings and self-serve cases and absolutely no sales tax versus the 8% tax in Philly. Robbins Delaware Diamonds. Well, a cougar is likely to have killed a woman whose body was found in an Oregon park on Monday in the state's first ever confirmed fatal attack by a wild cougar.
Yeah, they were thinking it might have been a cougar, but now they have confirmation. Wow.
Diana Bobber was last heard from on August 29th and was reported missing by out-of-state relatives on Friday. Sheriff's deputies found Bobber's car at the Zigzag Ranger Station in Oregon's Mount Hood National Forest over the weekend. Her body was found Monday about 2 miles from the station. A medical examiner said that Bobber had injuries consistent with an animal attack. He said her injuries are indicative of what experts believe to be that of a cougar. We are waiting for final confirmation on the type of animal responsible for this attack.
They're gorgeous animals, but they can be deadly. And, you know, they stealthily come in. They usually, their method of attack is from behind, and they go onto your neck, and that's it.
There are an estimated 6,600 cougars in Oregon, but they are rarely encountered by humans.
Did you see the footage that the guy had of like three or four cougars, Preston, on his deck? He lives in that general area.
No.
And they just like I guess a pride is what you would call them.
That's
all
scary.
Just loitering around on his deck.
A few of us have ever had the courage to go through with stealing a monkey, and that may well be for the best, because a 23-year-old New Zealander named John Casford almost died trying to do it.
To steal a monkey.
Yeah, John admits that he was high as a kite when he bypassed an unsecured gate, broke through two padlocks, and entered the monkey enclosure at Wellington Zoo.
Yeah, ever since I was a little boy, my dream was to steal a monkey.
He had, and I was born in 1968. No, he had it.
Play the New Zealand national anthem.
He had it in his mind that he was going to catch one of the zoo's squirrel monkeys, a canopy-dwelling species from the Central and South Americas.
They're tiny.
And take it home to his girlfriend. Well, that's what he's thinking. It's tiny. It's not going to be a problem. Wrong. The squirrel monkeys had other ideas. He said, this is the judge. Judge Bill Hastings said, I don't know what happened in the squirrel monkey enclosure. This was during his sentencing last week. He said, the squirrel monkeys know. You say you couldn't find them, and I don't speak squirrel monkey. What I know is that by daybreak, all the monkeys were distressed. Two of them were injured, and you had a broken leg, two fractured teeth, a sprained ankle, and bruises on your back.
Did the squirrel monkeys kick his ass?
That's what the word is. Yeah,
wow.
John reportedly told zookeepers that he had broken his leg while jumping the boundary fence, but his attempted monkey heist was ultimately foiled by the fact that monkeys are not, as it turns out, just hairy little children with tails. They are savage acrobats that will beat the living piss out of anyone who wanders into their territory unannounced.
Yeah, tell me about it.
And in this case, that someone also happened to be a wanted criminal. Police had been chasing John for a string of unrelated offenses over the previous 7 months, including an unprovoked assault on a man waiting in traffic lights, an alcohol-fueled attack at a convenience store, and assaults on a community safety officer and night shelter resident who refused to hand over cigarettes. So this is the type of guy that tries to steal monkeys.
From my girlfriend.
Judge Hastings sentenced him to 2 years and 7 months in prison for both the attempted monkey burglary and the crime spree leading up to it. The judge pointed out that the 23-year-old would have to put the monkey's life in jeopardy, or would have put the monkey's life in jeopardy, had he managed to catch one, as well as endangered the wider community with a biohazard risk in the event that one of the monkeys managed to escape.
Oh, I have every confidence he would know how to properly raise a squirrel monkey.
So he's going to jail for 2 years and 7 months.
Dumbass.
An Indiana sheriff says it does not appear that any laws were broken when two men took a video of themselves playing with the limp body of another man who died of an apparent drug overdose and posted it on social media. Wait till you hear what they did.
Oh, my God.
Coroner Chuck Harris said the video, which included manipulating the man's mouth like he was singing a song and lifting his arms like he was a puppet, showed a blatant disregard for human life, but the sheriff, Dave Reynolds, said that his office concluded no law was broken and that the men told him they were horseplaying. He said, we're really comfortable to say there was no foul play whatsoever. Harris said that the man in the video was Kyle Kirby, 21 years old, who was pronounced dead on Sunday. Harris suspects the death was a drug overdose, but won't know until a toxicology report comes in 2 weeks.
Isn't there a classification, something like, not defiling, but a corpse, or, I mean...
He said it didn't meet anything like that.
It didn't meet any of those standards?
Harris said that he couldn't determine whether Kirby was alive when he was filmed, slumped over as one of the men tied cords to his wrists.
Weekend at Bernie's.
That's kind of what they were doing. Another man in the video slaps the apparently unconscious man, shakes his head, and pumps his chest in a CPR-like motion before manipulated his mouth and singing a song.
Dear God.
The video was provided to the newspaper by Heather Anderson, who is Facebook friends with the man she said posted it Sunday morning with a caption that said, one of my close friends passed away this morning. Please stop doing drugs, #fentanyl.
And the worst part is, Preston, they now have a series deal on Netflix.
Anderson said that she commented on the video asking if Kirby was okay and that she would alert authorities. The man who posted the video messaged back asking her not to alert authorities, alleging Kirby was actually home and alive. The man asserted the video was supposed to be a wake-up call to his friend about his drug use, but Reynolds said that his office responded to a call at Kirby's residence later that afternoon, and a parent found him in bed covered in vomit and not breathing, and he eventually died at the hospital. That is messed up, man.
Holy hell.
Yeah, that's all kinds of crazy.
Yeah.
All right, so we can't end on that. Let's end with something a little bit lighter than that in the bizarre file. How about this? Police responding to a reported break-in at a Jamba Juice.
Jamba Juice.
Arrested two men, including one who was not involved in the store entry, but was in possession of a samurai sword.
Another samurai sword.
Well, if you're going after Jamba Juice,
you got to have your samurai sword.
Officers responded
to the way the ninjutsu did it.
A report of a person smashing the window of a Jamba Juice. When officers arrived, they spotted a man inside the store and took him into custody at gunpoint. Meanwhile, another man who happened to be hanging around outside of the store was questioned by officers and arrested after he was found to have a samurai sword.
We did like a strawberry and a banana smoothie and with the blueberries.
That is what I have for you in the bizarre file.
Are there a lot of Jamba Juices around?
There's one in the airport.
Is there?
Yeah.
That's the only one I know of.
Yeah, me too.
There are a couple left over.
Okay.
Like I've never been to them.
Yeah. Yeah, they used to be really big, and now you don't see them as often.
They're more of a West Coast thing.
Are they?
Yeah, yeah. So they started in L.A., and they had some success on the East Coast.
All right. Well, there you go. That's your Bizarre File and Jamba Juice update here on the Preston and Steve Show. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a second. Our buddy Josh Wolf is stopping by. He's going to be at the Helium Comedy Club tonight, Friday, Saturday. And Sebastian Maniscalco is also checking in advance of his show tonight at the Wells Fargo Center. These things and more on the way. We'll be right back. You know what? Give me something to give away.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Case.
Okay.
I had said earlier we had a lot of stuff to give away and haven't given away squat. We have a screening of the movie A Star Is Born starring Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga. This is Monday, October 1st at 7:30 at the AMC Neshaminy. And if you're one of the next four callers right now, 215-263-WMMR, you'll also be qualified for a trip to the premiere in Los Angeles Monday, September 24th. A Star Is Born hits theaters October 5th. So it's wild because you would actually go to L.A. and see the screening if you win before we actually have the screening here in Philadelphia. So let's see if you can get on board. We'll be back in just a moment.
93.3 WMMR.
Online.
On demand.
And on
the air. Including our digital HD signal. The best sounding MMR there is. WMMR HD. And HD2. The MM Archives channel.
All right, thank you, Kathy. I'd like to play a piece of audio that you really have become fascinated with, Casey. Was this for on air?
Well, I didn't necessarily have to be, but if you want, are you talking about the little clip I played for you today?
Yeah, okay. It's a piece of a song, which was kind of interesting.
Yes, and it's a very current and popular artist.
Is sure. It?
And I, you brought us Kanye Poopity Scoop.
Right.
What did you bring us after that?
I brought
you
some Eminem.
Eminem.
And lucky you.
It turns out that apparently, Preston, hip-hop is taking most of its cues from our show.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So, it's a clearly, we have a big influence over hip-hop.
Can you do that with the, thank you. With the,
if,
why does that make me
and
laugh?
Because it's so awesome. Piercing. It the same reason laugh. That makes Nick's ears detonate is why you enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's my turn to cut the food. That's the play. When my drink, it's my day. Lucky you, off you go. Woo! Y'all gotta move. Y'all gotta move. Y'all gotta move. Give me some room. Give me some room. Give me the juice. I'm about to cook.
All right, what's the new one?
So the bottom line here is I am open to listening to new music, you know, all different kinds of genres of music. And there is an
I
artist.
I admire that about you. Yeah. I there are certain things I just I don't like, but you are more accepting.
Like, for instance, Mac Miller passed away, drug overdose last week or whatever. I had never heard Mac Miller before.
So you explored.
Like, I explored. I didn't necessarily care for it. Some things, the Eminem album, I really cared for. Post Malone is an artist that I have heard of, that I've seen pictures of, and I had never really given a second thought until his plane, the tire burst upon takeoff.
Yeah, like they were circling and they were having an issue and he was kind of
he wrote his last will on his face, right? And testament.
No, well, but he said, like, afterwards he made a comment. He was really scared, you know, whatever. It was terrifying for him.
Right. So, and I look at this dude's face. I'm like, okay. He's got barbed wire tattooed across the top of his forehead.
Yep.
He's got a tattoo above his right eye. He's got tattoos under.
He's got tattoos on his face.
All right. So you look at the picture.
He's got something just below his nose.
Yeah.
Right. Go ahead.
So I'm making this story longer than it needs to be.
Yep.
So I decide to listen to his latest album yesterday.
So you made some presumptions about him because of the tattoos on his face. You go listen to the music, and turns out you kind of like it.
I kind of liked it because it wasn't hip-hoppy and rappy. It was it's a style of music called trap. And so I listened to Beer Bongs and Bentleys. That's his latest album.
Beer Bongs and Bentleys.
All right.
By the way, wasn't this guy, if I may jump in here, and this is, I guess, I think, Preston, you and I probably fall in the category. We're more pre-Malone.
Yeah.
Not post-Malone. But this guy was more of like an acoustic guitar playing guy who's really sort of engineered his image.
Yeah.
And now he took off.
Did a little bit of research on the guy.
Okay, it's a little, add a little bit of this, put some tattoos on your face, add grill, and we're off and running.
He and I share a birthday. I'm literally 20 years older than he is to the day.
All right. So no coincidence.
So I'm listening to the album, and this guy is a lyrical genius. I mean, he's got a song, Preston, called Zach and Codeine. But it's a playoff of
Zach and Codeine. Okay.
It's sort of a playoff of Zach and Cody. Yeah. And so he talks about sweet life and stuff like that.
Oh, what a genius.
But there is a song called Spoil My Night. And that features somebody that I don't even know who it is. But I am sort of listening a little bit. And
this is Post Malone we're talking about.
I'm listening. And then this lyric just jumps out at me. And I'm like, okay. What did he just say?
All right.
And it's really dumb, but I love it.
Okay. And this is all this for 1.5 seconds of a clip. This is just, it's literally
yeah, we need to hear it.
It's 1.6 seconds long.
Oh, you mean you're not going to play some of the song for us? Just the little clip?
Well, let's hear the clip and then maybe we can hear the rest of the,
well,
song,
it's,
of the song.
You have to.
Play it, clip!
Yeah, I know. Thank you. Here we go. Here we go.
She got beautiful boobies.
Okay, that's it. Now on to
that's
next
it.
Topic.
All right, and now on to
next topic.
Jesus Christ.
Play it again.
But she got beautiful boobies.
But she got beautiful boobies.
But she got beautiful boobies. What Casey was about to say is we'd probably have to do a lot of edits in order to play the song.
Oh.
Yeah. I'll play Casey's interpreter this morning.
Thank you.
But she got beautiful boobies.
There you go.
I love it.
Okay, so
the
we're looking at the lyrics.
Is, I ain't even seen her face, but she got beautiful boobies. Wow.
Yeah, when I walk up at a party, they all act like they know me.
And
yeah.
She see those diamonds in my teeth. I see her smiling back at me. I think she rocked me like Jumanji. It's about time post make plan B.
Okay. What the hell does "I think she rocked me like Jumanji" mean?
Well, it means that she rocks him like the board game that transports you.
Rock no. The Jumanji. Rock was in Jumanji.
But see, she says she rock, but rock is lowercase, meaning not the proper name rock. It's simply rock.
Yeah, but the rock was in Jumanji. It's
genius. Oh, she jacked me like black.
Now she whipping out her phone, and I know, damn, how many videos you gone post. Everybody on the Garn gonna know. Graham gonna
Graham. Garm. Phil Flarn.
Everybody on the gram. Phil Flarn and Phil.
Yeah. She see those diamonds in my teeth? I see her smiling back at me.
Wait a minute.
Henry Fonda.
Henry Fonda?
Garn.
Garn.
Gosh, Garn darn. Hip hop.
Phil Flarn.
Flarn and Blarn. Okay, Post Malone.
All right, there you go. And she got beautiful boobies.
She got beautiful boobies.
Okay. So, and right now, still the Poopity Scoop in the lead as far as Star's discoveries.
Oh, just
flat out,
just absolute gibberish.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
certainly.
Let me ask.
But
you
keep
guys,
at it.
Let me ask you guys a question.
Yeah.
Do you have a song that you like that is absolute gibberish? I mean, like Susudio, for instance.
Mm-hmm. How about Yellow Ledbetter? Right? That's one of my favorite songs, but my favorite band, and I have no idea what the hell Eddie's saying.
Yeah, I don't know what's in lyrically in that song.
There's one line.
I mean, there are songs that are fun and light and aren't meant to be taken seriously in any way, shape, or form that are great. I can't...
Like Amazing Grace.
Off the top of my head, I can't really think of anything. But yeah, I'm certain there's... Oh my God, I heard this. There was so much bubblegum garbage. You know, you think of the 1960s, late 60s, early 70s, and what amazing music came out from the Beatles and Led Zeppelin and Cream and The Who and all these wonderful songs. But there was also a lot of garbage too, bubblegum. There's a song called Chick-a-Boom.
Chick-a-Boom, Chick-a-Boom, don't you just love it, Chick-a-Boom, Chick-a-Boom.
And that, the radio airwaves were littered with music like that. It's just gone away.
So one of the nobody legendary stations in the country, WABC in New York, AM, it was a one pipe for music going to everyone's cars. And you would go from like a Led Zeppelin cut to Boogie Woogie Bugler Boy of Company B from Bette Midler. And you'd hear all sorts of stuff like that. That's when you'd have the Archies. Sugar.
Just throw away songs that are just
farted on out.
So that continues. There's a lot of them.
She got beautiful boobies.
You know, so I don't think
boobies.
40 years from now, we're going to be singing along to Post Malone. I may be wrong. I don't know.
We'll probably be attending his law classes.
He switches gears.
He switches gears.
But 40 years from now, people may remember. Beautiful boobies, finally, the way you guys just talked about Cracker.
Yeah, just for fun.
No, Nick, cracker. They'll be reading.
What was the thing? The Cracker? What was the one you just guys sang together?
Chick-a-boom.
Chick-a-boom.
Cracker.
See? Cracker.
Nick has already forgotten it, and we just mentioned it. Yeah. What were some of the other horror? Well, that, you know, it was another one.
Or Chevy
The
Man.
Name Game.
Oh, yeah.
Louie.
Well, but that's still has
sexual overtones.
And it's it just and was entered into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It was considered a fairly groundbreaking song. But,
really?
Not by
but it's gibberish. It's yeah. It's garbage. I know what you mean as far as lyrical
content. It chronicles the rise of William Wallace.
All right, anyhow.
She got beautiful boobies.
I just wanted to play that and then move on.
Listen,
to
we had to. Mm-hmm. Casey went to the trouble of securing that clip.
Sorry about that.
It's okay.
I want to talk about a new sex position.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
All right. Now you're going to demonstrate.
No, I'm interested because there was a sex position. Jared Leto was wearing a shirt the other day, and it had all these sex positions listed on it, and there was one that I had never heard of.
There's one. Now, I don't think there are any quote-unquote new sex positions because the
people have been at it for a while.
Kama Sutra has been around for a long time, and that pretty much explores all the different positions that you can be in. But there's one apparently called the Golden Arch.
Yes.
And there's a...
Yeah.
For a millisecond.
I know.
You thought?
Just a moment. And then I was like...
No.
I do that all the time. Consider the source. Annabelle Knight, who is a sex guru, has revealed that...
Does it say that on a business card?
That the Golden Arch sex position is perfect for both couples to receive intense pleasure and is very easy to do. We used to know a sex guru, the girl in Westchester.
Yeah. Yes, Jill and they ran her out of town.
Did they?
Jill McDevitt. Well, they didn't run her out of town.
Yeah, like lit torches.
She closed up her shop, and she lives in San Diego now, but she still listens from time to time. Yeah, yeah. She's a good follow on Twitter if you're interested in... positions like the Golden Arches. I mean,
she was awesome.
She's very open.
Oh, yeah.
In her descriptions. So if you're faint of heart, I wouldn't. But she's written books.
But the position involves a woman, and I'm not going to get graphic about Bill. Don't worry. Well, Bill's out of town.
Bill's out of town. Let her in.
Yeah! She got beautiful boobies.
He's a
Wait a second. My Bill senses are tingling.
It's like Spider-Man.
Oh my God.
Bill's out. You know.
He gets a tingle in his nuts.
In some local store lecturing someone about the third leg of the stool.
And so, you see, I deal with the third leg. Wait a second. Something's going on. Sex talk back in Philadelphia.
Anyway, but I'm not going to get graphic with this, but the position involves a woman sitting on top of her partner so that they have the best view of each other during their sex. Imagine this, Kathy.
Yeah.
You sit. The man sits upright with his legs straight out in front of him.
Okay.
She sits on his lap facing him, but she's on her knees. You know what I mean?
Right. Okay.
So there you go. That's
the way
position.
You do it.
Yeah. That's the position.
That's new?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't know.
I think there's a little bit more to it, Preston, if I may. I think basically you're looking as if you're almost playing like crab soccer.
I don't.
It's a woman leaning back.
Well, eventually she can lean back. Yes, okay. That's what this gets into. But the basic position is you're sitting up, guy sitting up, legs straight out on the bed, and she is on her lap, on your lap, facing you on her knees.
And now, where am I sitting when I film it?
And she can lean back.
Yeah, because at some point she's got to be in an arch position,
yes,
correct?
Yes, exactly.
That's it right there. So anyhow, Annabelle said that this head-to-toe position is a great way to have a full view of each other's bodies. She says he needs to sit with his legs straight, and then she sits on top of him with her knees bent over his thighs. She has to lean back and then let the pleasure commence
by
lifting her ankles.
So would you do the Golden Arches? I know you and I are fans of the Arby's with the horsey sauce.
Yes.
A lot of meat.
Plenty of horsey sauce. It says couples can keep eye contact in this position, meaning it is very intimate.
Stop looking at me.
And can help women who find it a challenge to get to that next level.
Ma, she's looking at me.
Annabelle advises that you can lean back slightly to increase stimulation, and couples can also explore each other's bodies for added pleasure.
I want to explore your body.
Yeah.
I love you. I think what this position does, and again, to be as delicate as possible, it makes things link up properly so that certain spots are hit more comprehensively.
I guess so.
Did I hit that right?
I think so.
Okay.
I think it might be.
And that's the charm of this spot. Now, the Burger King is an entirely different thing.
Yes.
Here's a great comment from somebody that says, doesn't work for fat people.
Hmm. Okay. Sure?
Probably not. No,
it would be a little. If you have a large belly, it might get in the way.
Gets in the way. Yeah.
If you get altitude sickness climbing up your stomach, yes.
If we're going to talk about just physically being able to do certain things, it might be a little bit of an issue.
Steve, what is the Burger King? Is that meat in between two buns or?
Have it your way.
Okay.
It requires you and a hooker.
All right. So Jared Leto was wearing this shirt and it had all these positions and one was called the crab.
Cut.
Yeah. Yeah, you bang a crab.
Oh.
It's really painful.
Can you describe it?
Well, no,
it just said.
It just says, right? Here's the
It says cowgirl, doggy face, 69 scissors, and the crab.
Have you ever heard of the crab?
I don't know. It sounds like it might be similar to this.
It does, actually.
To the Golden Arch.
Because we talked about the crab soccer.
Yeah. I don't really know, Case. We'll have to look that up.
You know, but you bring up a good point, too, President, about people saying, you know, and Norm MacDonald does a bit on it. I got a new position. No, you don't. You have to imagine all the people throughout time who have been having sex.
Sure.
It's all been done.
Yep. Trying it a different way.
Unless you're doing it on a new invention. Like maybe the first person who had sex in a Tesla.
By the way, and this will speak to Kathy, making your bed in the morning can lean to a better sex life.
Yeah, it always
I'll
has
bet
to
you
be.
Make your bed every morning, don't you?
Do you? You make your bed every morning?
Wait a minute. Dennis isn't up by then.
Every day.
She still makes it on top of her. He wakes up with the blankets over him and the pillow on his face.
Yeah.
What the hell?
No, but the bed, I will. I also make Jace make his bed every morning. The beds have to be made,
Beds have to be
made. Listen, if you don't have time to put the decorative pillows on, I'll let it slide.
Oh, man.
But if I make the bed, the decorative pillows go on.
You would love my room is very antiseptically clean now, I have to say. I have my little vacuum cleaner. And if I had a cup where I was drinking, I do. And if I had my little cup where I was drinking water, I make sure that it goes back down to the kitchen sink.
Oh God, I love you.
Thank you.
That's so sweet. That's so nice. That's really good of you.
I hate decorative pillows. I finally got rid of them.
They stayed
on my bed forever. And I use my bed. Alone, it's my bedroom.
It's
my
your bed.
Sleep in different rooms. And so for the longest time, the decorative pillows kept getting put on there. I'm like, these are stupid. Nobody ever comes in here but me. I don't care for them. They're just taking up space. And when I put them on the on the floor, they take up space there too. So now I've systematically one at a time put them in the closet, and now they're hidden away and they never come out.
It's
again.
Your room.
It's my room.
I have my room. I've opted to not use decorative pillows, and I replace them with Batman figures.
I have on my bed, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 decorative pillows.
You know, she's like Shelley Long in Cheers, Nick.
11.
You remember the scene where Sam Malone goes over to sleep with her, and he goes in, and he goes. You see him walking out of the room with about 50 stuffed animals and pillows, and he throws them out the window.
Or Along Came Polly.
Came Polly. He actually does the math on how much time of his life has been wasted by taking the time to put the pillows away and put them back on. And he's like,
he
it doesn't make any sense.
A knife to shred them, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, so go ahead, Nick. I'm sorry.
All right.
Casey, just to answer your question about the shirt that Leto was wearing, it's a cover for one of their albums, for 30 Seconds to Mars.
Oh.
It's called America, is the name of the album, and it has those sex positions written on it.
Got
it.
Okay. But, Kath, doesn't that just add extra stress to your life? Or is the
unmade bed adds stress to my life? Okay. No, I'm kidding. I'm talking about
the decorative pillow part.
No, it doesn't. Why? No, I have like a little bench at the bottom of the bed, and the decorative pillows are neatly stacked there at nighttime.
I'm surprised you don't have a little trunk at the end of the bed where you can put the pillows in.
Yeah, you know what? I know, but the thing is that 11 usually doesn't fit in the trunk, so I did the bench, and they stack nicely on the bench.
Okay.
Right.
I have to get it.
I'm not so sure about that.
At night, I have to get into a freshly made bed. So say on a rare occasion that the bed is not made, I will I straighten the sheets out. And
you call it a divorce lawyer.
No, and almost make the bed before I get into it. It's just like, it's more comfy.
And it's neat. I never make my bed, ever, ever.
Does your wife shut the door to your bedroom, or do you shut the door to your bedroom?
Shut the door.
Not that I ever.
You know she doesn't shut the door. That's how he was busted.
No,
shut up.
No, I know, but I'm saying, I'm wondering if she is like, okay, I don't care, but when she, like, for me, if it wasn't made, I would go by and
just
shut
so
the
you
door.
Don't have to look have at it.
Here's what I do, and I honestly, you guys know, I sleep on top of the bed. I sleep on top of the comforter with a blanket, like a nice, it has little elephants on it.
So you don't actually make your bed. You just don't mess it up.
I just don't mess it up.
Okay.
I tuck it in, though, if there are little creases, and you would find a pristine bit of bedding. In the winter, if it starts to get very, very, very cold, I just press it. You're like me. Even throughout the winter, I have the ceiling fan going.
I like the
circulation of air.
I absolutely destroy my bed during the night. I mean, with the
you poop a lot.
The pillows and it's an absolute mess. The blankets are in a wad. Pillows are all over the place. By the time I'm done sleeping, what's the point of me making the bed? Because I'm just going
to
do it again.
It's funny because I actually have to have the elephants facing the right way when I sleep.
Jesus.
I know it's so goddamn stupid, but
I do. Force yourself to do it the other way? Just to make you sleep, make you get
It'd
through
it. It'd be hard.
It'd be hard, all right.
I would not be confident that the elephants were looking the correct way.
Mm. Wait, can I want to answer that text.
What right. is it? Which
Please
one?
Ask
it
says, Kathy if she is a certain way that she stacks the pillow. Yes.
Of course you do.
Exact same way every single time.
The most efficient way, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
The two big pillows and then the longer pillow in the middle because it's long enough.
Hang on.
I mean, what am I, running a bed and breakfast?
This is him stabbing the pillows.
Anymore.
You know how many minutes a day I spend getting to throw pillows on and off the bed?
How many?
4 minutes in the morning, 4 minutes at night. That's 8 minutes of my life. I figured it out. It's 56 minutes a week. It's nearly 2 days of my life a year I spend putting pillows on and off a stupid bed.
This poll said from the Just Saying Institute surveyed 2,000 Americans and found that 42% of those who make their bed said their partner makes them more likely to do so. And a third of people said it would be a turnoff if a potential partner didn't make their bed. They also found that those who make their bed have more sex per week than those who leave the bed unmade.
Quick question, wow. Kathy. Does Dennis make the bed when he gets out of it?
He makes the bed, yeah.
All right. Well, there you go.
All right, so he's on the same page.
And that means there's a lot of golden arches going on there.
I guess so. Yeah. I guess that happens. speaking of the bed and sleeping, two-thirds of millennials report sleeping naked by a poll that was done by mattressadvisor.com. They're a mattress review site.
Do you sleep naked? Do you porky pig it? Do you sleep bottoms?
Underwear.
Underwear.
Just underwear.
Underpants. Yep. I go back and forth. Yeah. If it's like warm out and especially if like I've just taken a shower, I'll sleep naked. But I think most comfortably boxers, underwear.
I think for me it's a leisure suit.
Okay.
I think it just is the most comfortable way. Because it's leisure. You're sleeping.
Sure.
Yeah.
As long as there's no socks on. I cannot sleep with socks on.
Oh, no. Who can?
Some morons.
Psychopaths.
Yeah, psychopaths.
I think if I didn't have kids... Maybe I would sleep in a nude.
Did you in college?
No. I like college. I passed out most nights. So
fully dressed.
Yeah.
Fully
dressed.
No, shoes on the way back to the dorm.
Yeah, you're lucky if you make it to the bed.
No. Yeah. In fact, in
the bushes.
My entire senior year. No. Either way, junior and senior year, I basically slept on the couch every single night.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sounds about right.
The holding tank.
Yeah, the holding tank.
So I usually do. Underwear and either a shirt or not.
Okay.
My friend's father.
My
wore,
shoes are right by the bed, though.
And actually, my friend, when all growing up, he had like old man 1950s pajamas, you
I was
know,
where
you're biting down.
Who does that?
Yeah. And I also have a question about a nightcap because that was a thing for a little while that people had little.
You know who I see wearing full pajamas for some reason?
Bill
Burns. West.
Yeah, yeah. No, Bill Burns.
Oh, Bill Burns.
Yeah. I see Bill Burns.
Yeah, I could see that,
in
too.
Full-on striped.
Is Mumsy going to tuck me in?
Bill is a...
Bill Weston?
Well, Bill Burns maybe could be a full flannel
Bill
pajamas.
Burns, one of our sales managers.
Yeah, he's a button-down guy, but I could see that.
Pajamas.
Yeah. My dad was a bathrobe guy, right? So he'd get up in the morning... And he would go downstairs. He made all of our lunches all through grade school and high school. And he was there. He had this old ass robe that he wore all the time.
My dad was robe and strap on.
Yeah,
it was his
thing.
If we didn't go to work as early as we do and had a little bit more time, mm-hmm. I'd probably do the bathrobe thing.
You'd be a bathrobe guy.
So comfortable.
Yeah, I know.
You know what? Nice, it's too comfortable.
It's a leisurely way to get up in the morning.
It's too much of an inducement to stay in bed and hang out.
Nah, I'd go out on the veranda and enjoy a cup of coffee.
But first, we have to build a veranda.
Right. I'm texting Bill Burns right now to
see if he wears pajamas.
I bet you he wears.
You know,
though,
you see,
pajama guy.
When you get pajamas for Christmas, pajamas.
Your pajamas.
I'll dry clean your pajamas.
It's from a movie.
Men don't wear plaid. But yeah, so they're comfortable as just hanging around the house. But sleeping in them, I would find it too restrictive.
When I was a kid,
too warm.
I did full-on pajamas.
Does it say why millennials, they believe, or what a general consensus as to why that's the case?
It said, let's see here, the project manager, Joe Mercurio.
I can actually guess something, if I may.
Yeah.
I think houses have generally, the atmosphere and temperature in houses is more is better maintained these days.
Well, yeah, that's what the nightcap was made to keep
right.
you warm.
Right. So the aspects of keeping you warm with this clothing is less necessary.
Did you look that up or did you just know that?
The nightcap I looked up.
Oh, right. You did. Okay.
I don't worry. I'm not that smart. I don't know things like
so
that.
So this guy. Oh my God, Bill Burns is here.
Mr. Pajamas.
Hey, Bill, I didn't even see you walk in.
You've got me so wrong.
Really?
No way. Pajamas?
Are you completely naked?
Close.
Okay, so what do you wear?
Boxers.
Okay.
Boxers. No t-shirt, nothing. No. Right.
Boxers?
Just boxers.
All right.
No, see, boxers.
I saw pajamas and a warm glass of
milk. No, absolutely not. What am I, Cowper?
Yeah.
No, oh my God.
No, Cowper's just product.
No, Cowper wears bikini briefs. Bikini something briefs. Like that.
I'm actually,
I don't want to get sick.
I'm actually almost insulted. I'm sorry. You're just. I'm so.
What's wrong with that?
You're a suit guy. I always see you that way.
Yeah,
you don't like that I put my feet up on the table when we're in meetings.
I'm getting over that.
Okay. I'm good with that.
The image is you with a big nightcap and one of those candles that's in the little holder. You know, as you go to bed with a glass of milk.
Does my wife make my? Does she warm my milk and then bring it right to the bedside for me,
well,
too?
She knows what's good for her.
She exactly. and her kerchief and I and my right,
yes. That was him. So you just boxers.
Just boxers.
All right.
Just boxers.
All right. Fair enough.
All right. Thank you, Bill. Misread you on that
I'm
one.
Sorry about
all
that. Right. But Bill Weston, on the other hand.
I wear a nightcap.
Yes.
Let me get to this. Your question here, Steve. So he surveyed over 1,000 people across the country, 58% of whom he said sleep in the nude. Nude sleepers also report better sleep quality than pajama wearers. Not surprisingly, men are more likely to sleep naked than women, though more than half of women still report sleeping without any clothes. Only 39% of boomers, which would be of
me.
Our age range,
yeah.
Your age range, Steve. Yes, I'm sorry. The 39% of boomers sleep in the buff, compared with nearly 65% of millennials, the survey found. Relationships seem to relax people's sleeping habits, with 72% of nude sleepers reported being in a relationship, compared to only half of single people. See, I would think single people would sleep naked more often.
Yeah, why not?
More than half of people who sleep nude report that their partner does as well.
All right, do you go to the bathroom in your bed?
No.
All right, move on.
Yeah.
You know what's nice? If you go to bed naked and your partner goes to bed naked, there is that off chance that that will lead to morning sex.
Sure.
You know, and yeah. like this, if everybody's
morning
closed,
as in the morning or M-O-U-R-N-I-N?
No, oh, with no, me, not, it's always no. the second.
Yeah.
Why are we doing this?
Why are we doing this?
I regret everything.
All right, so here we go. Hold on. For those who prefer pajamas, their reason ranged from staying warm to anxiety about being seen to just that's how I was raised.
Okay.
Nearly 70% of respondents who sleep naked said they do so because they're more comfortable without clothes. About 58% said nude sleeping was relaxing, and 54% said that it improves their sleep. So it's kind of vague, Steve.
Yeah.
Just like, I just like it that way.
Just a percentage. There's no rhyme or reason to it.
Yeah. You wanted me to go to line two, Case?
Yes.
All right. Let me get Cheryl on the line. Hi, Cheryl. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning. How are you guys?
Great. What's up, Cheryl?
Well, married 37 years. My husband's a big man, you know, up 235.
All right.
At least.
That's old.
Even in the summer. No, no.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Of course. Why did I even think that?
But anyway, even in the summer when it's hot, he's in full pajamas, full heavy white undershirt under the top, and boxers.
It's almost like a suit.
Well, is he typically more chilly than other people that you find, you know, and needs to be warm? No.
I would tell you he's a big, warm man. His hands are warm. He's like an inferno.
Okay.
I do not understand it. I'm in like a little teeny sleepy and nothing else, you know, a strappy little nightgown.
Ooh, yeah, strap on
nightgown. I want to have sex.
With the covers kicked off me, he is wrapped up. I don't know what it is.
You're the antithesis of most couples I know. It's usually the woman who is bundled up like crazy.
Yeah.
And the guy who's the opposite.
Now, Press, Cheryl. You like to put on, you have a whole bunch of pajama bottoms, right?
Yes.
What do you call, I mean, is that what they're called?
Yeah, I call them pajama bottoms or, you know, yeah. Just jammies or whatever.
Jammy
bottoms.
The second you get home from work, you put those on.
I sometimes.
Not, used to be like.
I used to. Okay. Like I'd walk in the door. I was like the Goldberg.
Yes.
I'd drop my drawers. but I would put pajama pants on. But I don't do that as much anymore. But that is my
I'm not going anywhere for the rest of the day attire. If I find that that I'm done with whatever I need to do and I'm not leaving the house, it happens to be like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, those things are coming on, man.
Do you know what I do? I come home and the pair of shorts that I'm wearing, I almost always have an identical pair of shorts. And I will switch into those because I have my home shorts.
Yes, I got you.
That I can go do dusty things with, like change cat litter. All not right. My formal
right.
Shorts.
Right, your work shorts.
Yeah, my work shorts where I'm trying to put a good image out there. Right.
Let me ask the other men in the room your collective opinion on slippers.
Just in the winter, but not to walk around the house. They are if I need to run outside real quick. If I forgot to take the trash out. Or
why
if
not
I need
around
to,
the house?
Because I don't need shoes on while I'm in the house.
Do you guys go to the bathroom in your slippers?
I don't wear slippers in the house.
I poop in
the
slippers.
In the slipper. Yeah.
No. I'll tell you this. I will wear a more worn down pair of sneakers or whatever in the house.
Yeah, Nick, because I have bad feet, I like to have slippers that have a
support, an arch.
Not necessarily, just pillows, just so it's a softer. Sort of, yeah. So I have my Homer Simpson slippers.
When you take your elevator chair up the stairs to your sit-in shower,
yeah.
Do you let your first alert medallion hang out of it so that it doesn't short out in the water?
Nick, I take it you're a slippers guy.
Well, I like slippers in the house as my indoor shoes. So
you're very Asian, though. You're very Japanese. You wash your feet when you come home.
I am very Asian.
And you have house slippers, basically?
I have house slippers,
like moccasins,
yeah.
Almost?
Moccasins.
Or, okay.
Yeah, and I, L.L. Bean, and when I...
you have a kimono?
I don't have one, but I'd love one. I look forward to slipper season, like when because you can't really wear them in the summer because that's insane. Because your feet would sweat too much. But like in the fall through, the spring when it starts to get warm again, those are the months where it's cold out. I enjoy the slippers.
I just kind of walk around in socks and in the house.
That's not enough for me.
Okay,
I walk around in cleats.
Walk around in cleats, golf shoes.
I just like the sound.
The old stiff spikes, the old metal spike shoes.
Cleats will absolutely ruin your wood floor.
I've noticed.
I learned that.
Yeah.
Okay. I got. Yeah. Let me get rid of this. I'm going to go to Bill. Bill, hi. You are on the air. Good morning.
Duh.
No. Duh. What's up, Bill?
All right. So you guys talking about sleeping in nude, sleeping in PJs.
Yeah.
I, believe it or not, am most comfortable wearing jeans and a T-shirt.
To bed?
To bed.
Huh. How do you do that every night?
Every single night.
Is that a fight or flight kind of thing that you're ready, you want to be ready to...
There's a deer in the house.
Yeah, a deer in the house. That's why I keep my shoes on.
You gotta keep your shoes on.
Get a shotgun for that one.
Yeah, so what is that? Is that a psychological thing or care to guess? Just feel comfortable. All right.
Well, there. Thanks, Bill. There's something to some people like that
sheathed.
Yeah, that kind of. I forgot.
Labia.
Constricts it. Not labia.
Swaddled?
I'm sorry, I was reaching. Swaddling.
Swaddled.
Maybe.
Yeah, to be swaddled.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But jeans.
That's what baby Jesus wore jeans.
Yeah. I think. Yeah. Like me and my friends, we like to play sand volleyball in our jeans. But that's
at the Top Gun flight school.
Let me go to Jeff. Hi, Jeff. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, sorry to bother you guys at work.
It's okay. All right, buddy. What's up?
Hey, I had a friend of mine used to sleep naked until his house caught on fire.
Yeah. And what happened?
Well, he had to get out, so he's standing out in his front yard, butt naked, watching his house burn and the fire company coming on his way.
Wow. And how long was he standing out there totally naked until somebody gave him something to cover him up?
Well, I guess once the fire department got there, they got him a blanket and got him covered up.
No neighbor could provide something until the fire department. Yeah.
That's a bit of an extreme reason as to why
you
should not sleep naked.
Well, you know.
Well, what if your house sets on fire or perhaps a deer on fire wanders into your house?
Right. Maybe grab the blanket I was sleeping with and
no, can't do that.
Maybe.
That's for the bed, Casey.
Well, apparently 2/3 of millennials are sleeping totally naked. So the majority of them in this particular survey. So interesting.
So what you're saying is easy pickings.
Easy pickings, man. All right, we got to take a break. I think I saw Josh Wolf.
No kidding.
Can I see him?
Yeah, you did.
All right, cool. All right. We're going to get Josh in. Josh is going to be at Helium Comedy Club.
This 93.3 WMMR Audio On Demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spas. What better way to get back into the swing of things than with a relaxing massage or rejuvenating facial? With 50 locations right in this area, you're sure to find a relaxing spa experience. Introductory services are just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com to find a location near you.
Are you ready for love? Well, if you're in love and you're ready to get engaged, visit Steven Singer at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. His Ready for Love collection of engagement rings are ready to go and ship immediately for free, all at the perfect price. Steven Singer Jewelers, one place, one price.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, he's at Helium Comedy Club tonight and also tomorrow and Saturday. There are shows at 7:30 and 10, and we love him. We're glad he's back. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Josh Wolf is here.
Nice to see you, man.
Always nice to be back here. I would have brought my guitar if I knew we were playing this morning.
Yeah. I follow you on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I was watching a clip of you playing. I said, because Preston now has gone on YouTube and is sort of teaching himself.
I'm a drummer.
To play.
Okay, so, yeah. And I've always admired the guitar. And, you know, for years I've known a G and a D and a C. You're just some basic.
That's my entire set.
Yeah, yeah. Major chord. Yeah. And so I went on, and Casey has this guitar back here that he got us for the studio. And I was like, I have YouTube now. And I went on YouTube and I just typed in 3-chord guitar songs.
Yeah.
There's hundreds of them.
Yeah. Every single one.
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm like, I got this. So I'm just having fun playing around, you know?
A couple years ago, I started bringing the guitar on stage, just doing like the last 10 or 15 minutes. Like,
you were reticent to do it?
I was.
You didn't want to be one of those guys, like
Well, Dimitri Martin is
right,
that. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Well, here's what happens. The comedy community is a small community.
Right.
And I want to be known as a comic.
Right.
But, and, you know, as soon as you bring that guitar on stage, other comics are like, look at
this. Does it almost put you in like prop comic level?
Yeah, but so my songs, and I'll say it when I bring the guitar out at the end of the set.
Yeah.
I'll even ask, how many people when I brought the guitar on stage were like, look at this D-bag?
Yeah.
And everyone's like, all of us. But my songs are not, they're not nice and cuddly. Like,
right.
I wonder if I could play.
Yes, give it to him.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question.
Do you need a pick?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a song that I'm going to write 2 words down.
Okay. And this here's the vetting process.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me ask you. Does it have the same punchline as the joke you told us off air? The answer is no.
Oh, my God.
Well,
yeah.
Here's
it was so
the thing.
Funny.
It's
yeah,
a
the
song.
Second word, no good.
Well, it's a song about. So my daughter wrote a poem.
Yeah.
This entire poem.
That's beautiful.
When she was 6 and a half years old.
Yeah.
She wrote an entire poem about her cat.
Okay.
And it's a poem that she read in front of the entire school.
Yeah.
When she was 6 and a half years old. The song is entirely about the cat.
Yeah.
But the chorus is that.
Okay.
But it's entirely about...
If you're referring to a cat, absolutely.
It's entirely about a cat.
All right, there we go. In that context?
Yes. There's a pick
right all right.
There. Okay.
So, we can stop him if we need to.
Let's make sure our boss is on guitar's in tune.
Okay. It's in tune.
So this entire song...
If I wave you off...
Yep.
Then you're good to go.
Yep. So this entire song...
Is about a cat. Yeah.
My daughter, when she was 6 and a half years old, we bought her a cat. She said, I'd like to write a poem about it. I said, sounds good. She sung this... she wrote
the poem.
Read this poem in front of the entire talent show when she was 6 and a half, and I just put it to music.
Okay.
These are the exact words.
Okay. Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
All
right.
Oh, that's a beautiful guitar.
Martin guitar.
Ooh, I love her, my pussy. I like to hug her, my pussy. Yeah, my pussy likes to run around. My pussy, she makes the cutest sounds of my pussy. She can be scary, my pussy. She's really hairy, my pussy. Yeah, my pussy sleeps right on my chest. My pussy, she likes my brother best of my pussy. She's as happy as can be. And she's part of the family. And she likes to sleep all over the place.
Oh, boy.
Wait for this. Ooh, my pussy, she'll lick your face. Oh. Ooh, my pussy, she'll lick your face.
Yeah.
Now, listen. So she opens with, ooh, I love her, my pussy. And I turn to my wife. I'm like, we got to go. And she said, why? And I go, the chorus is my, right?
Yeah.
She's going to say it a couple more times.
Yeah.
And she said, yeah, but if we leave, she's going to be humiliated. I go, yeah, but why do we all have to be humiliated? Yes. You know what I mean? She's already going down on the ship. Yeah. I got to be on the ship with her? Like, what?
Yeah, so why are you obliged to go along?
So we're waiting. We've waited. And so we're standing outside of the auditorium. And if you have kids, you know we live in a generation with some judgy parents.
Yeah.
And they were all streaming past us, just shaking their head.
But you know what? That has the innocence of, listen, I have 9 pussies at home. 9 cats. So, and all of that rings true.
Yes.
So it's in its way. It totally works.
It's
a very sweet, innocent
song.
Very
sweet and innocent.
Beyond profane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's really hard to judge which one it is.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is you asked that question, right? So a woman came up to me after this show, and she was super, super mad. She goes, you really ought to proofread your daughter's poetry. And look, hindsight being what it is. She's right. She said, you really ought to proofread your daughter's poetry before she reads it in front of the school. And she walked off super mad. And then her husband walks up to me and high-fives me, and he goes, your house sounds fun. And just high-fives me like that. And I was like, yeah, you know what? It is pretty fun over there.
Hey, you know what, though? You probably, how were your parents with you and growing? Because we talked about this, a little while ago when Burt Reynolds died. My father, when the movie Deliverance came out, it was, oh, my God. There's a rape and there's a whole thing.
Yeah,
and my father goes, let's go see Deliverance. And with I was like second grade or whatever at the time. Went and saw it. We were like the black sheep family of the neighborhood, but it was fun. It was, did you have a anything goes sort of childhood, or were you strict?
I think when we were growing up, like that R rating was just a suggestion, really. Do you know what I mean? If my parents wanted to see the movie,
you
was
going
to that movie.
Likewise.
Yeah. I took my son to see Tropic Thunder. When he was young.
Yeah.
And he had invited all of his friends, and all of his parents said no. All the parents said no.
Yeah.
So we were there, and when we walked out, I was like, I'm so glad I took him to that movie, because it was funny.
Yes.
It was so funny. And he's got a better sense of humor than his friends, because they're all, they were looking at, they were watching Grown Ups,
It's an education.
Yeah, which one?
Tropic Thunder.
100%.
Especially
a good
comedy.
Education. Yeah.
So we were talking off air, Josh, and speaking of parents, but this video, Doug Benson tweeted it out last night, and it's about your comedy special, and it's you on the phone with your dad right before you go out.
Yeah.
And it's a really tender, sweet moment that you share with your father, and you put it, I guess, on the special, or is it part of the promo for the special?
It's both. It's part of the promo, but it's a lead-in. It's me calling my dad and asking him, do you have any advice? And he basically says, be yourself, because that's what you've been successful doing. And the special will rise or fall on how honest you are.
Is this Father of the Year?
Yeah, it's called Father of the Year.
Right.
And I was blown away, but I decided to really use that as the promo.
That's awesome.
Because I wanted to, that's what it is. That's what comedy is to me. Like, when you're honest and you're yourself, that's the best kind.
Did you say, so your dad's always been supportive of your of your comedy? Or
sure. Actually, you know what? They have been. And
when
so
15 years old, he drove me to my first show.
Wow. Whoa. Dude, that's awesome.
But, you know, so he wasn't too, he was happy on the way there, not so happy on the ride home. Because when I was 15, when I showed up, I said, when I signed up, I said, what should I talk about? And they said, talk about what you know. And the only thing I knew was that my parents farted a lot. So I did 7 minutes of my parents, you know, because they were fart walkers. You know, yeah, those people that, well, with impunity. They don't really care. Yeah. But I told, I closed, my closer was this story about how we were driving on the Mass Pike where I grew up.
Yeah.
And we were pulling over. We were in the station wagon, you know, where the seats facing backwards with the window in the back. Because I'd rather smell the exhaust than what was coming out of my mom's butt at that day. She must have been a heavy protein day. I don't know what was going on.
Right, yeah.
But she was killing the car. And my dad pulled over on the freeway. And he goes, you got to step out. And she goes, step out. He goes, yeah, you're really wrecking the car. And she said, what do you expect me to do? He goes, I don't know, walk it off, but you can't be in here. So she walked up and down the freeway to shake it out of her pants or something.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was hilarious. But that's what I closed with.
Wow.
And so the car ride home was silent.
So he saw that that if this was going to be a career, a lot of the stuff is going to be set on stage.
Well, yeah, and that's basically, you know, they followed my career. And this whole special, if you like storytellers,
right,
that's what this special is. This special starts with one story and ends with the same story. And I'm so excited for it to be out. Father of the Year, it's all
weird.
Where
do we go for it?
On my website, comedianjoshwolf.com, I shot and produced it myself. I put it up myself. I wanted to be control of the content and everything that happened. So
that's great.
Go to my website, and it's there, comedianjoshwolf.com.
How cool. That's an option now. How cool that,
amazing.
That people, I mean, you know, you've been in this business forever.
Yeah.
You know.
Thank you.
Fighting tooth.
But I mean, it's a compliment.
Yeah. Tooth and nail to get something on. But you can take ownership. We were talking, we're not going to mention a network that you were dealing with. That wanted restrictions on some of the material.
Yeah.
And you're like, no.
Yeah,
and you could just bypass it.
It's so cool that you can really just, look, you can go on YouTube and now be a guitar player.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You can really do anything. Yep. So for me, it's so cool to have control, to let the artist have control of what is coming out.
It's bizarrely liberating because I suck at home repair. And my brothers-in-law are all contractors. And so, you know, I went online on a YouTube thing to figure out how to drive hooks into concrete.
Yeah.
And there's a YouTube video for it. There's a YouTube video for it that has the equipment that you're using, that has the kind of wall. Somebody somewhere has done some YouTube that speaks specifically to what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I did it.
What's cool about it, though, is if you are looking for an artistic outlet,
you can,
even if nobody's going to see it. In the past, you would just do it in your room
or
in the basement or whatever, and nobody will ever see it, and you're the only one. But now, at least you can put a video out, and a handful of people will at least see it, so you can go for it.
Yeah, and the stuff online, like, well, by the way, I don't fix things well. Like, I'm as Jewish as they get. Like, I don't know when the videos that I look at, like, how to fix things, right at the beginning, there should be a disclaimer. Like, if you're a Jew, just call somebody. You know what I mean?
If you're a Jew, you're
going to hurt your fingers. Yeah. Yeah, I am not, like, my kids know too. So one year we used to all sit around and talk about our New Year's resolutions, right?
Yeah.
So this was so embarrassing. My kids, they were kids.
Yeah.
And I go, this year I'm gonna fix things. And there was a pause and they all went, ah! I go, what's so funny? They're like, don't fix anything of ours, please. You're the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not. Does anybody, are you?
I bought a miter saw. Casey's good at it.
Yeah.
You're a fixer? Like,
no, but.
But you try.
You try.
You're
giving
it an effort. Compared to the rest of the room?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm Bob Vila.
Bob Vila.
But I have put so many things on backwards, you know. Oh, and it's the worst because, like, an IKEA piece of furniture or whatever.
Well, how are you supposed to put together an umaflar? Those are tough to put together, you know what I mean?
When you have it all together and then you realize that some piece is backwards, you're like, God damn it, I got to take it all apart.
I do a show on Tuesday nights on my Facebook Live called Controlled Chaos. And the best way I can describe it is a talk show, but it's like if at midnight met Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Okay.
It's
right,
bizarre.
I like that. Yeah,
it's a lot of fun. I do it live. We hire weird people to come on. My producers know I like surprises, so they hire weird people to come on that I don't know are coming on.
And what is this? Where is this?
It's on my
Facebook Live
fan page.
Yeah.
It's on facebook.com/JoshWolfComedy. They hired a dude who said he was half dinosaur, half man, and he came on the show and ate salad out of my hand with his mouth. It was really weird. It was so much fun, though. But that's the kind of stuff that you can really do just by yourself.
That gives you a lot of creative control. The funny thing is, now, do you still do the podcast with Freddie Prinze?
Yeah, we still do that. It's a lot of fun, too. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, do you... As you start to go off and do all the, you have these separate things going, the main focus is and always will be is your stand-up, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So how do you parse out what material goes where? I think Nick was raising this question. We had someone else in here about how do you stop from letting too much out, you know?
It's interesting. I will say that this is the hat. I do something every Monday night. You really have to do something all the time. It's quantity. And I do something called a High Live on my Facebook fan page where I look into the camera, I start 100% sober, and I go an hour, and I smoke nonstop. And you watch somebody go from sober to, oh, this dude shouldn't be in front of other people in an hour. It's like a weird science experiment. But that particular show that I do has helped my stand-up so much.
Really? Because you guys really enjoy each other, clearly.
It has helped my stand-up so much because what it does is, okay, podcast and all these things really have let us settle into long-form story and have let us realize, oh, we don't have to do 8 jokes a minute to keep people interested. And it lets you be okay with the silence. So when I do shows like that are long-form, I'll find jokes there.
Yeah.
I'm not wasting any material on any of the other platforms that I do. When I find a joke, I never do it on any of the other platforms. That's just my stand-up.
So you remain conscious of where stuff is going. Okay.
100%. I have to because, I'm sure we all listen to a lot of comedy specials.
Yeah.
But some specials you can be like, I heard that story 4 times on his podcast. I heard because he was doing it on his podcast.
Yeah, right.
I don't work things out on my podcast. I work them out on stage where that's where I do that. And my podcasts are for other stuff.
Do you have a preference? Is there one that gives you more pleasure than another?
My right hand. and my right hand, left thumb.
That's just
my equation.
You know, like left thumb.
No, right hand, left thumb. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's what I hitchhike with. So there's a lot of bend to it.
Gotcha.
You know, it's real flexible. It's flexible, with the right
hand. Time to kill this afternoon.
You think that when they thought of that movie title, A Time to Kill, that's what they were thinking? Right hand, left thumb?
Yeah, probably.
Right hand, left thumb is going to be my next T-shirt, by the way. It's just going to be this. People are going to be thinking, that's the number 6? No, right hand, right hand, left thumb.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, nobody's going to touch my left hand for a long time.
You were observing. I was watching you talk about your you have 2 sons.
I have 2 sons and a daughter. Yeah,
right. And you were making an observation about teenage boys that I thought was interesting about your sons in particular.
They're super dumb. Teenage boys are like. First of all, here's the truth. Like, I never met any of you guys when you were teenagers, and I don't know anybody's teenage sons. But I know for sure that they all laugh like this. Oh. 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 The teenage boys are the dumbest people on 2 feet. Anybody who laughs like that, you can't take that person. Oh. How do you take that person seriously? They're so stupid. And so they're just in general dumb people. And they think... They think they're smart, but they don't understand. Like, testosterone makes you dumb.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Legitimately stupid.
It clouds your ability to reason.
Big time.
So testosterone makes you do... So there are 3 words I've never uttered together after a lot of testosterone left my body. But when there was a lot of testosterone in my body, I found myself on Friday and Saturday nights saying stuff like, hey, hold my beer. Because after hold my beer, nothing good happens.
Yep.
That's like the physical equivalent of saying, I'm not racist, but something terrible's coming up. Right. So when you say hold my beer, somebody's about to do something really dumb. And it's generally a white dude between the ages of 16 and 25. They're providing so much entertainment for me right now.
You're right.
Have you seen the videos?
There's a Twitter page, hold my beer, which is just one video after another. And you're right. The main protagonists are in that age range.
They're the best. Yeah, they're the most entertaining because when you're that stupid, you're gonna do anything. Like there was one where this dude was like, I think I could take a BB gun in the stomach.
Yeah,
because my stomach muscles are strong enough. Nope. The only one person thinks. Only one person thinks they can do that.
That's when you hilarious. See somebody like stick a bottle rocket.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
July 5th.
Dude, he's going to do it.
July 5th is my favorite day to go on YouTube because I know there's going to be, July 5th is just, I know I'm going to see a bottle rocket in a butthole. Someone's going to lose a thumb. You know what I mean? Like, what is happening?
Do your boys ever say, Dan, can you cut us some slack? Or they just don't care?
Can they cut? Can I cut them slack?
Like talking about how they're being so dumb and everything like that. Are they?
You know, my son asked me once. He goes, "Man, do you have to tell that story?" I said, "Do you like those new shoes?" And he said, "Yeah." I'm like, "Well, those stories buy those shoes. So anytime you want to go shoeless, I'll stop telling stories about you."
They get it.
You like to eat? You like to live inside? Okay. Anytime you want to forage and live outside, I'll stop telling the jokes. But as long as you don't want to eat berries and twigs, I'm going to tell that story about how stupid you are.
How's your foraging?
You're not good at digging roots. It's cool. Well, here's a story about you being dumb.
How old are they?
They're older now, man. You know, I've actually got some grandkids.
Wow.
Excuse me?
So here, want to hear something crazy. So my son, he goes, "You get to pick your grandpa name." And I was like, cool. Now, I was like, there's 0% chance that anyone's ever called me grandpa.
Yeah.
0%. Because as soon as that happens, I don't know if I'll ever get an erection ever again. Mentally, it'll be in the back of my head that somebody called my grandpa. I'm not sure how hot that is. Yeah. So, you know, and I definitely didn't want to hear anyone calling my wife grandma. I'm like, I'm not sure I can have sex with grandma. That's not good for me. Uh-huh. So, because my theory is like when people get older, like 80-year-olds, I think they still want to have sex. But I don't think their bodies are working. But you know what are still working? Their eyes.
Yeah.
So I think two 80-year-olds stand naked in front of each other like, you know, I'm going to pass on that. I'm going to go ahead and not do that because that does not look good for me. So for me, what was I talking about?
You're choosing your grandpa name.
Okay, so I say to him, okay, I'm going to choose my name. He goes, cool. He said, tell Beth, my wife, choose her name. So we call back a couple days later and my wife chooses BB.
BB?
BB. Beth Beebe.
Oh,
because the kids might, sometimes they can't pronounce.
Sure.
So my son said, what do you pick? And so my number one, I went with three choices because I wanted to make sure I was going to get one. But my number one choice was LeBron. And so because I thought, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
How great is it if someone goes, we're going to BB and LeBron's house? That sounds like a 70s sitcom. I want to go to that house.
I do too.
That man, that show has a great theme song. Yeah. You know it has a great theme song.
BB and LeBron.
BB and LeBron is like, I want to spend Saturday at BB and LeBron. Like, that's a good time.
Here's your music.
Yeah. So then he said, no, you can't do that. I said, why not? And he said, this was so fun. He goes, what do you mean, why not? He said, does everything have to be a joke for you? And I go, yeah, are you new? Like that? Haven't you paid attention to how I do this?
Yeah,
everything's a joke. And he goes, no, you got to pick something else. So I knew LeBron might not
fly.
I thought maybe there was a chance. So I said, what about JoJo? Because JoJo to me, it starts with a J. And he goes, okay. And JoJo is not that much better than LeBron. It still sounds like an old jazz player.
Yeah.
But BB and JoJo, so BB and LeBron to me sounds like a 70s sitcom. BB and JoJo sound like a 90s sitcom. That's me.
There you go. That's
but so we're BB and JoJo. Right.
With BB and JoJo.
What was the other one?
The third one?
Yeah.
Honestly?
Yeah.
Mickey.
Mickey?
Yeah.
The hell is that?
I just thought Mickey sounded tough.
I wasn't sure of like Mickey's mean green.
Burgess when they got older. Yeah. I just wanted to be, I would do Cut Me Mick. I was working out everything. You know what I mean?
My nieces and nephews call me Uncle Awesome. And it's because that's what I told them to call me.
Yeah, that is amazing.
Uncle Awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dude, so how old are the grandkids?
My oldest grandson is 6 years old, man.
Dear God, yourself you're look young for
48,
Christ's sake.
By the way.
Yeah, like, I know that.
I would peg you for
don't
late 30s.
Don't peg me. That is gross.
It's disgusting.
How about
that's a great offer to get at 8 in the morning. I'd peg you.
We'll peg you. We'll dock you.
Oh, yeah, that, man. When people say I'm going to dock your pay, you're like, that means something different now. I wish you wouldn't do that.
Like when you talk about the director of photography on a film.
Yeah, DP. When people go, I'm going to the ATM, I want to see it. I hope you do that here at the house.
Wow.
Yeah, the DP gets me every time.
I love to go off on a tangent, but when you see that subcategory on various aggregator sites that deal with pornography, it cracks me up.
Me too.
Yeah, it's like, what? It's like people talk about acting styles, you know, so I'm method, or What's your specialty? Well, I'm ATM.
I DP with the BBC.
And by the way, Josh.
BBW.
Josh.
BBW with the BBC. Yeah.
Around town, you will see people with bumper stickers that it's the abbreviation for Delaware Valley Dance Academy.
Yeah, DBDA.
Oh, dude.
Delaware Valley.
DBDA.
DBDA. That's unfortunate. By the way,
that's the unicorn of the porn world.
It really is. You really got to dig deep for that. I will tell you, there was the worst named thing that I've ever seen. When I moved to LA on Sunset Boulevard, there was a baby's clothing and furniture store called Sid's.
Oh my God!
Stop it. With a Y.
I think you're right.
Y-D-S. I know.
Yes,
Sid's.
Yes, Sid's. Yes.
And I would walk by there, and I was like, hey, man, Sid, maybe you should have used your wife's name. You know what I mean? Maybe Sid is in the right.
Except his wife's name was Crib Deck.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Wow, man. Just quickly, because I know we have...
No, we really do have to wrap it up.
We got
commercials and everything else.
But listen, Josh Wolf, who we love to death, is going to be at Helium, and he's here for a few days, so you got a chance to go see him. He's going to be performing at... where are my times here?
It's right up there. Tonight at 8 o'clock.
7:30 and 10, it says here.
That's on Friday.
That's Friday
tonight
and Saturday.
Is Thursday.
Okay, I'm sorry. 8 o'clock tonight and then 7:30 and 10 on Friday and Saturday. And tickets are only $20. So
At a great club.
And tickets benefit Philly Fights Cancer, too.
Cool.
So it's good. It's love all the way around. So, listen, Josh, it's great to see you, man.
Guys, thank you for having me. I always love coming on the show. I forgot. I just made these hats up. I brought some, but I just got off the plane. I'm going to mail them to you.
Please. Oh, yeah, they're awesome.
I love it, man.
Yeah.
Excellent. Josh.
Josh Wolf's High Live.
High Live. I love it.
Yeah.
Excellent. Josh Wolf, everybody.
Yay! Thanks, guys.
Get ready for MMR's Birthday Bucks Part 2. Proving you can have your cake and eat it, too. It's your shot to win $1,000 cash. 5 times a day, starting Monday, each weekday. Tune in at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m., as well as 1, 4, and 6 p.m. when we announce that hour's winning keyword. Enter it via the newly revamped MMR app on your fancy thinking phone or at WMMR.com. You've got until 15 minutes after the hour to get in. One random entry will be picked to win $1,000. MMR's Birthday Bucks, Part 2. 5 times every weekday at 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., 4 p.m. and 6 p.m.
Sponsored by Sprouts Farmers Market. Opening September 19th at Broadham, Washington.
Complete contest rules available at WMMR.com.
Our next guest is, he's playing the big room tonight, man.
Very excited for him.
Absolutely. He is, he's just been, you know, his star is just rising and rising and rising.
Killing
and
it.
A bunch of movie stuff coming out and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So tonight you will want to see him at the Wells Fargo Center. Ladies and gentlemen, Sebastian Maniscalco. With us. Hey, man.
How you guys doing?
We're awesome, brother. How are you?
Good. Getting ready. I'm in New York coming down tonight for the down or up. I don't know where you guys are.
we're down. You're from New York. Down. Are you in like a cab or something?
Yeah, I'm taking a cab. Wells Fargo Center.
It sounds very, very muffled, but that's okay. It's all cool. You that's the height of coolness when you're just going to come down and play a major arena, a big show. I mean, but we talked about this the last time when the show was announced. The state of the art, the acoustics, the way they can take, you're a big performer to begin with, so you can fill up that room. But the way they can cover shows now, you can take a room that size and make it sort of an intimate experience.
Oh yeah, I'm bringing in some production. I mean, when you do a room like that, you got to bring in lights, you got to bring in multimedia, you got to bring in smoke.
you're bringing smoke. Yeah. Wow.
Guys, I like to call it ambient haze.
Ambient haze. I like that better.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, listen, I'd mentioned real quick at the top here, Sebastian, all this movie stuff that you've got coming up and with some heavy hitters, man. Tell us a little bit about these movies. I know that Green Book is coming out, and there's a lot of great people in that.
Okay, here's the deal. I know you said, stars rising, and I'm listening to that, right?
Yeah.
And you don't know really where you are in, like, the celebrity sphere until you go to, like, a movie premiere. I went to the premiere of this movie that I'm in, The Green Book, in Toronto, right?
Yeah.
Now, everybody's walking the red carpet. Viggo Mortensen's in this thing, Mahershala Ali. These are big, big actors. So they're talking to E! Entertainment, access on this and that, the cameras, lights, and I'm waiting to go down. They walk me past all that, and they take me to the end, and I'm talking to a guy who's got a selfie stick on his iPhone. He's not only the cameraman, he's the host guy, and he's from Holland, and he's got some website called like comedy.org. So you don't know, it's like a slap in the face almost. You're like, all right, I'm the hierarchy of movie stars. Yeah. I'm at the bottom.
Yeah, but still.
You were feeling pretty good about yourself up until that moment.
Yeah, I'm like, this is it. This is red carpet, and I'm at the end of the line. So, but it's a great movie. I saw it with an audience for the first time, and they really acted well. It's a drama, but it's got some great comedy in it.
Viggo Mortensen couldn't play the Wells Fargo Center, so that might make you feel better, man.
Remind him of that.
Yeah.
Next time I see him, I'll tell him.
Yeah. So the Martin Scorsese film, the Netflix film, a lot has been made about this. What was that like? I mean, you're with Pacino and De Niro. I don't know how big your role is or how much you got to interact with them, but still, that's a mofo.
Yeah, no. So my scene the first day was with De Niro and Pesci. And so I'm on set, and I just didn't want to, like, get sent home.
Yeah. Go home. Go home.
I didn't want to be that guy, like, when they yelled cut, like, I was going to talk to De Niro about his restaurants, you know? So I just shut my mouth, did what I was told, and working with those guys. And listen, I'm not an experienced actor by no means, but being thrown into a scene with those two, I was just there to learn and be a sponge. But they really were, you know, they elevate your performance, these guys, and... you know, when you're acting with them, especially kind of your first time around, it's I almost fainted.
Dude, I don't know how you could handle the stress, but it's a testament to you, and you've been developing a skill set that allows you to kind of, you know, think on your feet, you know, with the stand up. But I mean, Scorsese, from what we've heard from countless people that have worked with him, is that he's an actor's director and that he couldn't be nicer. Was that your experience?
Oh, yeah. I felt like this guy, you know, he definitely has a vision of what he wants, and the way he conveys it to the actors, it's like it's like a little grandfather coming out and telling kind of how he wants things done, but it's so sweet. It's you just bow, and you're like, yes, sir, no problem. I mean, the guy really, really has an unbelievable way of communicating what he wants, but in a way where it's not, you don't feel at all like you did anything wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. There's a great scene in Taxi Driver, actually, and it's Scorsese himself, where he's sitting in the back talking about how he's going to blow away his girlfriend who's cheating on him, and he's describing, you know, that he's going to use a 44 Magnum or whatever. But it's this, you know, we're used to Scorsese as this, as you said, like a kindly old grandfather type, and he's saying some disgusting stuff in the scene, but he clearly appreciates what actors can do.
Yeah, and hopefully I did a good enough job where, you know, he's the type of guy where he'll use an actor in another film.
Yeah.
Kind of remembers that. And he likes comedians, so course, that was my what my parents were saying, you know. He could use you again, so do good.
Well, they know, you know. They've been in the business, so.
So yeah, my dad's a hairstylist. He knows a lot about the entertainment.
By the way, I'm looking at a picture of you right now on my monitor here, Sebastian, in high school. Did your dad do your hair when you had that mullet back in those days?
Yeah, you know what? My dad was, he likes to call himself a stylist, not a barber.
Yeah.
Barber. So, yeah, he, if you're looking at that mullet shot, which I think it's the one on my Instagram or Facebook, it's so bad. you would think, you know, I wouldn't have a father who's a hairstylist. I mean, this is the style I was given from a professional hairstylist.
Oh, man.
Well, so what you're saying is times were tough growing up.
Oh, yeah. I got in a lot of fights.
I was
bullied.
Do your parents come out to see you at some of these really big shows like this?
They won't be in Philadelphia, but yes, they do come out to the shows. My mom in particular loves like the Hollywood and the yeah. whole of glitz and glamour of it. And my wife, of course, you know, I mean, you would think she's in the movies. the amount of hair and makeup that are coming to the room, I'm like, are you in the movie?
I love that though. You remember years ago, Stallone used to have his mom, Jackie Stallone. She became a celebrity, quasi celebrity herself, just from sort of sucker fishing off his success. So in a way, though, they're always like characters. Is your mom a bit of a character?
She's a little shy, but she kind of loves getting dressed up and being in the mix and, you know, having a glass of wine backstage. She just feels like she's part of the whole production.
Ah.
My dad's the personality. My dad's the guy who's got a larger than life personality. Everybody loves Salvo. His name's Salvo. And he really, really gets into it. So he's having a ball. He's in Italy right now, but he would be at one of these shows if it wasn't for the factory.
And is that where you picked up some of your your style from dad?
Yeah, dad is, if dad keeps talking, I will keep making a living. This guy's mouth is like gold.
That's great. Wow.
Well, Sebastian, I saw you and your entire family on CBS Sunday Morning about a month or so ago, and they spent a lot of time. Was that in your house or in your parents' house?
That was in my house.
And really, you were just talking about, it was word-for-word stuff that your father mostly has said over the years, and you just take it because it's so damn funny and use it in your act.
Yeah, you know, he says things that are a little kind of like, I was telling him about some spoiled kids that I met, right? And he's like, once a tree grows crooked, you can't straighten it out. You know, like referring to the kids.
Yeah.
Meaning like, once the kid goes, you know, bad, you can't straighten that out. Like, he's got this way of putting things like kind of an old world description.
And yeah,
I take it and run with it because it's he's out there.
Well, you know that stuff stands the test of time. That stuff, yeah. It's been vetted over generation, and that's why why it still holds true. I love also your you know, we talked about this before, the act of staying hungry, of always, you know. Working it and staying true to the craft. And you think you got a lot of those values and that work ethic from your dad?
Yeah, my dad, he's still working. He's 73 and he's still working behind the chair. So this this work ethic definitely came from my father. He instilled it in me when I was a young kid. I mean, he used to come home and, you know, to tell me, what'd you do to earn today? I mean, it's just like, it didn't even ask about school. It's like, are you making money? So
that's it though. He's right. You know, in a way, if you know, you, I remember the second I was able to get a job, you know, and then even before that, my dad was like, you know, same thing. Hey, you know, look, you know, check the lawn ads. Yeah, ask around who's got work. It was part of the deal.
And now you just use his old jokes and you can earn. No problem. Well, listen, just a heads up to people that the book is called Stay Hungry, as you mentioned, Steve. The tour is called Stay Hungry. It is in town tonight at the Wells Fargo Center. And if you want to look, see if you can get some tickets, you can do that through SebastianLive.com. And it's going to be a great show. And Sebastian is, if you've never seen his comedy before,
great.
It is, it can handle a stage like that.
Yeah.
And he's just, you're just big in the way you present. So I think you're going to have a great show tonight, Sebastian. Enjoy it, my man.
Thank you for having me on again. I really do appreciate you supporting me throughout the years.
Anytime, man. Sebastian Maniscalco, yeah! Everybody. Yay! Appreciate it. And yeah, that show is tonight. I think he's on a helicopter. I think it sounded like he's on a helicopter.
You know what? He might.
I think he had, it sounded like he had one of those mics, headset and mic, and I think he was listening to it through that. But I didn't want him to.
Dude, that's cool.
I didn't want him to say.
Let's just pretend it is, even if it isn't.
Because I could hear like a, in the background. I think he was flying.
Mr. Maniscalco, we're almost there.
Yeah, I think he's flying down from New York in a helicopter. Anyway, he's hilarious. So it's cool. We got a moment to have him on. We need to take a break. I know we haven't done the Bizarre File yet, so I think we're going to do that when we get back, as well as music news and trash and all that stuff. So we shall return with that, and I'm sure that I have something I can give away. Case, pull something from the magic stack of stuff that we have.
Oh, the magic stack.
I will give it away. I have, for caller number 12, a case of Yards Brawler, 16-ounce powder cans. You got to be at least 21, 215-263-WMMR. Don't let the deep, dark shade of Yards Brawler beer intimidate you. It's a perfect choice to go a few rounds. You can pick up a case of Brawler at Matthews Beverages at 7631 Ridge Avenue. Caller number 12 to get it.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Ghost. Bad Wolves. The Struts.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
We skipped the Bizarre File a couple minutes ago, man.
We're so overly jammed with entertainment and great content that it's almost hard to handle. It's like a runaway train.
Keep telling yourself that.
I try. I'm not buying it.
I don't even know where Casey went.
He ran out crying. He can't handle it.
He can't handle this much entertainment
and professionalism.
Well, you know what? And part of the reason we're going to get back into it as well is we were going to add it. We added a last second guest to the list this morning.
Yeah, we thought this was cool.
You know that Hurricane Florence is bearing down on the Carolina coast, and even though it's being downgraded in its intensity,
yes,
it's still going to be very formidable because it's moving slower, and that means more rain.
So they're saying like 40 inches of rain.
Right, the wind speed has dropped down. However, it's
to 110 miles an hour.
Yeah, and still a tidal surge and things like that.
Huge.
Are probably going to happen. Yeah. So. When we heard of this, we thought this was pretty cool, and he's a new friend of ours, so we figured we'd pop on and get it right from the horse's mouth. We had him here in our studio a little while back. He is the owner of Ocean Resort Casino, and if you're not familiar with it yet, it used to be Revel Casino.
Yeah.
It's under new management ownership and a whole new experience, and we had Bruce in not that long ago to tell us about it, but wait till you hear about what they're doing. So first of all, we want to welcome Bruce Dyfick back to the program. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, my WMMR family. How are you all doing?
Oh, look, we're family.
We're family now.
Are we in the will yet? Or
yeah, that's right. That's right. Right behind my wife and kids. So good luck. With
that. Wow, we jumped right up past the family.
Maybe there'll be like an ultimate fighting thing that happens.
No, listen. You got it. That's right,
Bruce. You're doing something really cool for people who are fleeing the area because there's, you know, for the most part, mandatory evacuations, people to get out of that area, and they're just kind of scattering. And of course, the hurricane, the weather is making a turn down south, so maybe people are going to head up north this way. But you guys are offering something at Ocean Resort Casino, correct?
Well, we yesterday I announced that anybody that we could accommodate that is in the area, the cone that is being impacted by Hurricane Florence, and as you all said. Yes, it's now a Category 2, but the storm is getting bigger, and it's moving very slowly. So when you're talking 9 to 13 feet of storm surge, it's going to impact a lot of land, a lot of areas. We already have roughly 250 people. Some people have already moved into the hotel, and we expect others today. It's already 250 rooms. And I just want to be very clear, though.
this really has nothing to do with us. It has to do with what you all do, giving back. This is just giving back.
Right.
And helping out people that are in need. And that's what this is about. I do not want the focus to be on us.
Right.
I want the focus to be on the people that are in need, because this is a catastrophic event for them, where they live and where they have businesses and things like that. And it just so happens that we can help in some small way, and we're always going to do that. So my family at Ocean is prepared to receive these folks, help them in any way that they need assistance, and however many rooms that we have that we can accommodate, we're absolutely going to do that.
And this is free?
Free.
Okay.
Yeah,
wow.
You know what, though, Bruce? I think that came across. I was watching the news report this morning about this, and I think it came across that way. I just had a conversation with my brother last night, and he said, where do all these people go?
Yeah.
Are people offering up places? And then sure enough, I turned the news on this morning, and there you are talking about it.
Well, I mean, it brings a tear to my eyes because, I wake up every day and I try. And look, we've talked before, all of us as a group, and I truly enjoyed our moments together, weeks back. But I try to wake up and make sure that my family's proud of what we do. My mom and dad in heaven are proud of what we do. And I was raised a certain way, and my mom and dad didn't have much, but they gave back every day all the time.
Right.
And that's just the way it was. And that's the way it's going to be.
Well,
the
gesture is definitely is an honest one. It's born of the purest reasons. And it just so happens that as I've been watching and reading the different accounts of where people are going, there are a lot of people heading north as per Kathy's point that the storm path is leading to areas where they might have been going to flee before. So you're getting a lot of people going north. So it's absolutely a perfect synergy of things, because you're giving an option to people who may not have otherwise have had it. So, yeah, no, it's a wonderful thing.
Well, like I said, we have the ability. We can do a lot of things there and accommodate a lot of people. And what I'm not going to do, people said, well, how many rooms do you have? Well, we have 1399 in service, amazing rooms in our 60-story tower. But we have reservations Saturday. What I'm not going to do is I'm not going to move people in tonight and ask them to move out tomorrow morning.
Right.
So however many rooms we can fill up today all the way through Tuesday, we're going to do that. And then if people want to come on Sunday and then stay through Tuesday or Wednesday, I'm going to accommodate as many people as we can accommodate. And if that's 700, 800, 900, I don't care.
So how
I don't care.
If people have family or people that are heading north and they would like to at least attempt to take advantage of your generous offer, how do they go about doing it?
So people have been calling us, and all we require is, people have, like I said, 256 rooms already booked. All they have to do is show up. We'll have a dedicated lane for Hurricane Florence evacuees, and we'll only have two or three people. So on a consistent basis, we're dealing with those families. They'll come, they'll show us proof of their identification has to be within that.
Yes.
That cone.
Okay.
And people have said, Bruce, there will be people that will try and scam the system. Well, it's unfortunate that will happen. Potentially a few people will fall through the cracks.
Right.
As long as the supermajority of the people that truly need it are getting the assistance and help. So you call the hotel, Ocean Resort Casino, And you'll speak to one of our agents. Everybody knows exactly what's going on and the expectation. And if we have rooms available, fine, tonight or tomorrow. If it's Sunday night, then it's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And I'm here. So as you all know, people have actually reached out and spoken to me or called me on LinkedIn or reached out to me on LinkedIn. So we're all, it's all hands on deck.
Good.
Make sure we're doing everything that we can.
All right. It's a very, very cool thing, and we just wanted to spotlight and get the word out in case there are people who weren't aware of that, might have some relatives. Get in touch with them. Let them know what's going on.
Yeah.
Very, very generous, and just speaks to, how cool this is that you're in our area and that we can count on you for things like this. So,
well, I think it's cool that you guys and ladies are in our area. Okay, so I appreciate it, and I appreciate the reach out, and I missed my buddy at the BMW last week.
I'm sorry, okay? Man.
I just want you to know that you wanted me to do something special, And I told those guys, I said, look, I got somebody I want you to do something really special for.
Yeah.
Okay. But I look forward to that. And listen, you all have a wonderful morning. And we all say a prayer for what's about to happen to those people in that area.
Will
Absolutely.
Do.
All right. Thank you, Bruce. Appreciate it, man. Bruce Dyfek, guys. Yeah. Yeah. Ocean Resort Casino. You too, man. That's really awesome. That's the real deal.
I didn't tell you this, but I emailed Bruce on your behalf, and I was trying to set up something cool at the BMWs.
Oh.
And that's what he was referring to there. And,
what was it?
Well, it didn't happen, so I'm not going to tell you. But we were trying to do some...
It was a night with Paige.
Match play with Tiger?
Yeah, no, it's a night with Paige. Yeah, we were going to... No, we were trying to set up some behind-the-scenes stuff. And to be perfectly honest, the weather kind of got in the way.
Oh.
So, but Bruce was very helpful and responsive, and he's just, listen, you can tell it by his voice. He's a genuine person, and he's a decent person, and is probably the nicest billionaire I've ever met.
Can you let him know that Preston didn't know what exactly it was?
I'll let him know,
he seemed like he was taciturn about that. He was...
But he is serious about wanting to play with you at some point, which is cool.
We'll make that happen. All right, well, let's get to the Bizarre File, because we do have some business here, folks.
Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
It's brought to you by French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville, with everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big name brands they have. And visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else? I was giggling at looking at this next story, because customers at an Albuquerque spa are being urged to get tested for HIV after getting vampire facials.
We just talked about that.
But I was thinking of a vampire facial.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
blah. Bam. Oh, I just blah all over your face.
I'm blah. I'm blah. Blah, blah, blah.
I'm going to blah.
Watch, I'm not even going to tell him.
So,
quite a shocker, eh? And it's icy cold. You know, because I'm dead.
You may have heard of the procedure, though. Kim Kardashian has Instagrammed about vampire facials.
Absolutely.
It's a non-surgical procedure in which a patient's blood is drawn and then treated and partially reapplied to the face.
You look like the kid in that Mr. Bubble commercial.
health inspectors say procedures at this particular New Mexico spa could lead to the spread of not only HIV, but also hepatitis B and C.
Why is it that I am not even remotely a doctor, or I'm just the most pedestrian of observers, and I could have told them this would be a problem?
At least one customer is believed to have developed an infection that could be linked.
Really? From rubbing other people's blood on your face?
No, you're kidding.
No, it's your own
blood. Your own blood.
It's your own blood. But anyhow.
I don't care.
They're taking a look at that, and they're trying to make sure that everybody is okay. A man was arrested for deliberately cutting his neighbor with a chainsaw during an argument over a shrub. Deputies responded to a call about an ongoing dispute between neighbors. The initial call was about an aggravated battery.
What's that son of a bitch doing near my shrub?
The ongoing issue was between the neighbors about shrubs that are growing between the property lines.
Mm-hmm.
However, video from the scene shows Landecker, who is... Did it identify anybody? It's just
a Landecker.
Anyhow.
Landecker and Munson.
So there... No, it's Landecker Munson. And Zlocky.
Look at this mess.
All right, so the scene shows Landecker. Oh, you mean the
is this Landecker?
I don't know. Disposing of branches when Zlocky arrives home. It shows a verbal argument between the two before Zlocky begins hugging the shrub.
That's my shrub.
So I guess this guy Landecker was cutting stuff down, and Zlocky didn't like it. He thought it was his. The sheriff's office said the video shows Landecker getting his chainsaw and cutting the shrub while the victim is holding on to it.
I'm getting my chainsaw!
In a clear and deliberate act, Zlocky was cut with the chainsaw, and Landecker can be seen shoving Zlocky in the back. Zlocky's tendons were cut in his arm.
Yeah, wow, man.
That's bad. Based on new findings in the investigation...
What's worse, that or a facial from a vampire?
And the video, Landecker was arrested for aggravated battery and simple battery and taken to the Land O'Lakes Detention Center. So he's going to jail.
Over a shrub.
I know, exactly. Brits have been replacing drinks in minibar bottles with their own pee in one part of Spain. One in three tourists has admitted to refilling bottles with urine, water, and other liquids in hotel rooms in Costa Blanca. It is believed to be done so tourists, many of whom are said to be British, can avoid paying often expensive prices for the drinks. But now hotels in the region are uniting to remove the minibars altogether, instead forcing guests to use vending machines in corridors and receptions.
Thanks for screwing things up.
The research was carried out by Hosbeck, a hotel association for Costa Blanca. It said that Brits are the worst offenders. It may seem ridiculous, they said, but I can assure you it is true. We have had people filling bottles with pee, and thank God that staff have always detected it. Mini bars may now be a thing of the past in the region.
This tastes like piss.
Rules changed in 2015 in Spain to declare mini bars an optional service, so they are no longer obliged to provide them. And smaller hotels of 3 stars or lower were previously exempt from providing mini bars.
Here, taste this. That tastes like piss, right? Glad I got to it before I guess took a sip.
Yeah, that's how they figured it out, right? Let's see. And we will do one more story and wrap things up with this. A mother and child who accidentally fell on a subway track moments before the train arrived escaped unhurt by moving into a pit underneath the track. Police said the woman was pushing a stroller along a platform at Baker Street Station in London on Friday night. As she checked the arrivals board, distracted, she veered too close to the edge and fell down. The father jumped down to help her, and the three of them moved into a pit beneath the track as the train passed over them. Could you imagine?
So, like, the subway system in New York, and I believe it's the same way here, there is a little bit of a lip off the platform.
Under the platform. So, yeah.
Right.
People have been known to get under there and avoid being killed.
Is this what we're talking about?
It may be something like that, Steve. None of them were seriously hurt, but they were taken to the hospital for checks. Commuters who also witnessed the incident took to social media to record their shock. One user said, thankfully, all unharmed. The driver is also okay, as he did a superb job along with a chap from the depot that was on his way to work.
Man, best chaps in the world are the depot chaps.
Yep. And there you go. That's what I have in the Bizarre File. All right, we're going to go ahead and do today's lesson question. And today we are going to give away a pair of sweet tickets and a parking pass to join Jackie and Nick at the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series playoff race at Dover International Speedway on October 7th. The question I have is, what service animal assist blind skier Danielle Umstead? 215-263-WMMR. And I need the right terminology for this. It's not just the animal, but what type of animal. What service animal assist blind skier Danielle Umstead? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you can get on board and win. We're going to do the trash while you are calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Peeling lucky. Grab a large or extra large Dunkin' coffee for a chance to win great prizes. No purchase necessary. 13 plus ends October 15th or while supplies last. For game piece and official rules, visit sippeelwin.com. What's happening this morning, Steve?
Well, Khloe Kardashian raising questions about her relationship with baby daddy Tristan Thompson after posting a message about couples fighting on Instagram. Writes Khloe, quote, "You poke the bear and sometimes the bear gets pregnant." A hacked portrait of a naked Kendall Jenner walking along an isolated California beach has leaked online. Those who have seen the pics say it's surprisingly touching, mainly because Caitlyn Jenner is seen in the background combing the beach with a metal detector.
Oh, my God.
And finally, former Limp Bizkit leader Fred Durst and his wife Senya are getting divorced after just 2 years of marriage. Senya issued a statement saying it took her the full 2 years to realize it was that Fred Durst. No, so. And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All righty, we'll see if somebody knows the answer to the question. What type of service animal?
It's amazing.
Assist blind skier Danielle Umstead, and I will go to Mike, see if he knows. Hi, Mike, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, hello.
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 All right,
hello,
Mike.
Anybody there?
Yes, we're here. Mike, what service animal assists blind skier Danielle Umstead?
Skiing eye dog.
Skiing eye dog, yes. That is correct. Hang on the line, Mike. We're going to give you a pair of sweet tickets and a parking pass. Join Jackie Bam Bam and Nick McElwain at the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series playoff race, Dover International Speedway. That's October 7th. NASCAR returns to Dover October 5th through the 7th. The tickets start at $50. Kids tickets are just $10. Get yours at DoverSpeedway.com.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music View on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Yeah!
At IT, Avenged Sevenfold will release a new EP, and it will contain all four songs that the band has written and recorded for the Call of Duty Black Ops video game franchise. Frontman M. Shadows said, "We just felt these songs needed a place to live instead of being scattered all over streaming services. And we will also be releasing Jade Helm, which is the multiplayer score we did for Black Ops 3. Until now, that has only been available on YouTube and in the game. The EP will include a new Avenged Sevenfold song, which was recently teased in a leaked trailer for the Call of Duty Black Ops 4 video game. Shadow said about the track, the song is dark and brooding, and we wanted to capture a different feeling than a straight-ahead zombie killer track. And these songs are good places for us to experiment with our sound. I'd put this in the category of dark alternative."
There's a lot of times that there is, you know, video game music. I love the Zelda theme. I love, the original Halo music, I thought was kind of ethereal and cool.
Michael Giacchino got
started in video
games. Black Ops 4, by the way, is scheduled to come out on PS4, Xbox One, and PC on October 12th. Red Hot Chili Peppers vocalist Anthony Kiedis has been in New York City for Fashion Week and told the New York Post the band will begin its first writing session for the next Chili Peppers record in roughly 2 weeks. It'll be their 12th studio effort and will follow up 2016's The Getaway. Drummer Chad Smith recently said that they never really have changed the way they write songs over the years. He said it's just the same. We get in a room and we just rock, and whatever comes out that we like sounds good, we work on it, and we make songs out of them. And I said, it's the same kooky process. Four guys in a room making noise, so it's all good. By the way, Flea's long-awaited memoir, titled Acid for the Children, is set to arrive on September 25th. The book is described as focusing on Flea's fascinating life story, complete with all the dizzying highs and the gutter lows you'd expect from an L.A. street rat turned world-famous rock star.
Can you put that, guys, if you had a picture up of the Chili Peppers, I guess, at Fashion Week. Can you put that back up on the screen? Look at the picture of Anthony Kiedis. It's the one they just had up on the screen.
He's a fashionista.
Yeah, it was just a weird look, yeah.
Yeah.
He's just wearing an Adidas jacket.
I like if you go look close.
Looks like a race car driver.
Yeah, he does.
It's a weird look.
Ozzy Osbourne revealed in a new interview with the Philadelphia Inquirer, he was in town last night, that his last tour with Black Sabbath, the band's farewell trek, which ended on February 2017, was not a pleasant experience for him.
Huh.
He explained, "I didn't have a great time. I spent 9 or 10 years in Sabbath, but I'd been away from them for over 30 years. With them, I'm just a singer. With me, I get to do what I want to do. I was getting bad vibes from them for being Ozzy." He said, "I don't know. What the F else can I be?" Although Ozzy's current solo tour is billed No More Tours 2 and has been advertised as his last major world trek, he insisted that he's not going away entirely. He said, "What I'm stopping is doing what I'm doing now, going around the world all the time. I wish people would understand that I'm not retiring." He said, "Is it my bad English accent? It's called the No More Tours tour. It doesn't say No More Tours ever." And he said that he is easing back on the heavy road schedule in order to be with his family, saying, "I've got grandchildren that I have to spend time with." But he added that he's been very lucky to do what he's been doing for 50 years, saying, "I don't punch a card every morning. It's not my job. It's my passion. It's been the best thing that's ever happened to me in my life."
So at this age, is Ozzy's hair his hair, or does he wear?
I think it's his hair.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe there's extensions in there.
He probably colors it.
I would imagine, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even his teeth are gray.
Metallica guitarist Kirk Hammett and bassist Robert Trujillo spent Sunday and Monday at the new Central Texas surf park called BSR Surf Resort. The venue is an artificial wave pool built inside Barefoot Ski Ranch, a 500-acre entertainment facility located in Waco.
Wow.
The man-made wave system, named Perfect Swell, was developed by American Wave Machines and is the only one of its kind in the world, apparently. The two bandmates and frequent surfers reportedly rented out the property for themselves to enjoy some private time catching man-made waves in the 3 to 8 foot range. So
it generates some real... serious wavage.
I saw one that Kelly Slater developed.
Is it Australia?
Well, the one that I saw is in L.A., Steve.
Okay.
But it looks like, it almost looks like a train going to the side of the body of water and the train's momentum builds the wave itself. And as the wave gets closer to the beach, and then it crashes. Yeah.
And it's getting an actual curl to the wave, and he was riding the curl.
But the development of the of whatever this machine is that creates the wave is really impressive and massive, too.
And I guess you can get pitted while you're...
you get so pitted.
So pitted.
Yeah. You're on that. I would
just get spit right out of them.
I would absolutely love to do that. I have surfed a handful of times, and it is so much fun. The bitch of it is you have to go out in the ocean, and you got to wait for the waves, and then you got to hope you get them. But if you've got something that's constantly cranking them out like that,
that'd
be a lot of fun.
No sharks?
No sharks. So anyhow.
Dude, you get the best barrels ever, dude. Just like you pull in, and you just get spit right out of them. And you just drop in and just smack the lip. Drop down, snap, and then after that, you just drop in, just ride the barrel and get pitted, so pitted, like that.
Yeah, like that.
I just noticed his first sentence contains the word dude twice. He opens and closes with dude.
Nice.
Does he?
Yeah.
Huh. So, one final story. AC/DC 1973 to 1980, the Bon Scott years, an illustrated guide to the first major era of Australia's biggest rock export, will be published on November 14th. Packed with rare photographs and memorabilia, this large format full color book by Jeff Apter is sent to document all the key events of this period in the band's history. From their earliest shows on the Sydney club circuit to the death of singer Bon Scott in February 1980. That's one of those, the more you hear it, the funnier it gets. All right, and then... And that's what I have in music news for you this morning.
Hi, I'm Alexa.
Amazon's voice-activated personal assistant, Alexa, will take you right to MMR's brand new skill. It's the easiest way to open the station live stream and our audio on demand. Simply say, Alexa, open MMR.
We're your friends. And we're here to say that Thursday is coming to an end for us right now. But door closes, another opens, and we're opening that one up for Brent Porsche. We'll be in here in just a second. We'll find out what he's got going on. I do want to remind you, though, today, cloudy skies, high 76. Cloudy again tomorrow, high 75. We might actually possibly sort of see the sun on Saturday. So at least you got that. Partly cloudy skies, high of about 77. I hope we have a beautiful weekend. It's been too long. It's been way too long.
Enough of this crap. If we don't get a stellar autumn... fall.
Autumn.
Oh, I'm going to go apex.
See, I live near the Springton Reservoir, and I drive past it, you know, quite often. And there is a, this tower that kind of goes out into it. And
that, I know what you're talking
about. And you can see that's where the water line is. And I've seen that at really, really scary lows, right? Yeah. And now it is, and it has been for a while at a really high, which is a good thing, you know. So I'm trying to find like the little silver lining here.
Put it in context.
But it also, it's a weird thing. It smells terrible when you drive over that thing. I don't know
when it's full. It smells terrible, all the time.
Well, it's full now, and it smells terrible. In fact, my daughters and I drove past it one way last night, and it smelled so bad that we all held our breath on the way back.
Wow.
Yeah.
Does pee go into that thing?
No. I think
it's
that's
strictly a poop reservoir.
Oh, okay. Yeah. A poop-azar. Yeah. Poop-avar, whatever you would call it.
Whatever.
Well, anyhow, we do have some decent weather on the way this weekend, hopefully, so maybe you can take advantage of it. Thank you to Josh Wolf, who was on the show. Hey. Josh was hilarious. He's so great, and he's at Helium Comedy Club tonight and Friday and Saturday. One show tonight, and then Friday and Saturday, there's two shows. Go to heliumcomedy.com. Thanks to our good friend Alex Holly and Mike Jarek from Fox 29. We didn't speak to them yesterday, but we made a special consideration. We're like, we want to hear about Alex's little vocal rest tour out to the West that where she went by herself and basically didn't speak for a week.
Yeah.
And she had a great time. You can follow her pictures on Instagram. And it was nice to talk to those guys. And Sebastian Maniscalco.
Yes.
Who's at the Wells Fargo Center tonight at 8 p.m. Tickets at SebastianLives.com. Brent Porsche was there. You were there last night.
I was. It was a great show.
Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah. And I mean, if you've seen Ozzy speak, you realize he can't. You see him sing,
He sings very lucidly.
Yeah, oh, very nice.
Great up there. Zach Wilde on guitar, fantastic as always. He was out and running through the crowd and doing guitar solos behind his head and, you know, on his face and all sorts of stuff.
Ozzy was running a lot less, I assume, right?
No, you know, just the back, your standard back and forth, you know, the I can't hear yous and the, you know, the way he likes to clap kind of like a pop-pop right, up there, you know?
Oh, my God. And, but he's been doing that for 30 years.
Exactly, yeah, that's you know, the standard Ozzy.
I'm a tico. Short and stout. Here's my spout.
He also, you know, because backstage, when you're walking from you know, the dressing room area to the stage, it's dark, and they have to kind of light up a walkway for him so that he doesn't trip over wires and stuff. Yeah.
You see him doing this.
We're looking at a video of him, Steve. He's doing the little teacup. It looked like he was doing
that. I'm a little teapot.
Yeah. Oh,
everybody has been pulled.
Yeah.
Wow. Is this of last night? Was
I mean, it looks like Zach was wearing that same kilt.
He was wearing a kilt, yep. No kidding.
Yeah,
wow. Look at that, BB&T Pavilion in Camden, the YouTube.
Oh, it was at BB&T. I'm sorry. Yeah, I said it was Wells Fargo Center.
Elton was at the Wells Fargo Center.
That's it.
So okay. They used to tour together.
Two very different legends in town last night.
Oh, you know what? Speaking of which, I have... sorry.
Tickets to last night's show.
No, I need to do a shout out for Limo Mike. You guys know Limo Mike?
Yeah.
He said he was driving people to the Elton show. I really appreciate reaching out to Preston Steve. Shout out to who? Okay, here it is. Here it is. Sorry. No, I can't. Kevin McDowell.
Oh, boy.
Sorry.
Who else?
I am so sorry, guys.
It's okay.
Shout out Kevin McDowell. He's a huge fan, and that's all I'm going to read.
Okay, fair
they
enough.
They live in Detroit, and they listen to the podcast every day.
And one last thing, thanks to Bruce Dyfick for being on of the Ocean Resort Casino Atlantic City. What a great guy, offering up free, you can stay for free if you have had to flee the Carolinas because of Hurricane Florence. And it's really cool. And as he said, listen, there's going to be a couple people that slip through the cracks, but they're going to do what you can. And they're going to help people out. And listen, don't be one of those douchebags that comes in there and fakes it.
People legitimately need it and can take advantage of this offer, and it'd be terrible.
And it's really cool of them to do that. All right, we should do the letter of the day.
Are they in order this week?
I hope so. Robin's not.
Shout out, Robin Lee.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, and the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
By the letter G, as in Green Legion.
All right, and we're going to give away a 4-pack of tickets for the MMA Pro League at Hard Rock Casino Atlantic City this Saturday, plus 2 rooms, 4 food vouchers, and meet and greets with pictures in the cage. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com, by the way. So what's on today's program, man?
All right. Workforce blocks, Jane's Addiction. We're going to do that for Stephen Perkins' birthday today. I'm going to do a mixed-up block of Rage Against the Machine and Prophets of Rage. So we're going to be rocking with that one.
Nice.
And, Bob Dylan tickets go on sale tomorrow for opening night at the Met.
Yep.
So cool.
So we'll do a big Workforce block of Bob Dylan and give away some tickets, plus Oktoberfest live tickets.
Yeah, that's great. So stick around. Brent's got you covered. Tomorrow on our program. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And the Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Also brought to you by Winter Airport Parking, the 2017 Reader's Choice Award winner from the Philadelphia Inquirer. And brought to you by French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville with everything you need for the great outdoors. FrenchCreekOutfitters.com. Why take a chance with anybody else? Tomorrow's program, speaking of Brent, we will have Brent Selleck in our studio.
Ah.
Haven't had a chance to talk to him since he's announced his retirement. Scott Rogowski will be in studio. He's the host of HQ.
Yes!
And comedian Chad Daniels will be stopping by. So
very nice.
We are wrapping up the weekend style. That is it. We are done. So rage on and have a great day. And we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
What is he wrong if you microwave steak? Like a $25 slab of steak.
Next message.
Ozzy rocks, baby. Thank you for the tickets, MMR. Ain't nobody can say Ozzy, they don't have it anymore. Ozzy rocks. Ozzy. Woo!
Next message.
If my dog was as ugly as you, I'd shave its butt and I'd teach it to walk backwards. Just hideous.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.